Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. It is a Wednesday night. It is Prophesy and Pray Over Everybody. We love doing it. Glad to be here tonight with you. And praying everything's good. It's not. We're going to pray that you find the will of God and find some way to believe God for it to turn out for good. For sure. Because it can. And it will. I guarantee you, I've learned a thing or two. And that's just a thing or two. There's a lot more to learn. A whole lot more to learn, for sure. So, yeah, been working hard, getting ready to go live on video here soon, a few days, getting all the things together. It's not much, but I get to pull things out of the old studio, studio stores, putting things together, trying to remember how things work. It's been a while, it seems like, but I'm actually doing that right now. It's being all set up. And, all kinds of things. We've been all kinds of things. So, right. Very, very good. If you need prayer tonight, make sure you get your hand up. And because we are praying for everybody tonight, there will not be one person not prayed for, prophesied over tonight. All right. So, if you can get into the show, 319-527-6027. Get in there and let's pray over you. Prophesy over you. You don't have to do anything, but just show up. Call in and give us your first name, and that's it. It doesn't have to be your real name. Matters not. All right, so there you go. All right, hang on a second here. Okay, give me just a moment, we'll be right back. All right, we're here. I want to talk about things. Some people think things are evil, things are bad, things are carnal, having things. Well, those who believe that and have a house, then that's a thing. So I guess you're just a carnal house owner or something or dweller, but that's not really the way it is, right? No, things are not evil. Things are not bad. You know, religious spirit, and I've been subject to that before. A religious spirit says things are evil, things are bad. The only time things are, it's like calling what God created evil. Right? In one sense. Now, the other sense, you kind of understand that if people hang on to things and things are everything to them, then those things aren't God's things. They've become their things. Right? Even though God created them, we've made them to an idol by, you know, putting them first in our life. But when you put it in the order God's given, then things are, God loves things. I don't know where people get that. I don't know where I got it before. But God loves things. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things, right, will be added to you. Let me give you that scripture here in case you don't know what it's at. All right. Seek first the kingdom. All right. And it's in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? Righteousness is a big thing. And all these things will be added to you. So how can things be bad if God's going to add things to you? How many things does God add to you that makes you, you know, are they all carnal? Are they all evil? Are they all bad? Things are only evil and bad, friend, when in our own, you know, manipulation or our own, when we stole them or just got them in ways that didn't consider God at all. Did our own thing, you got things, you put in things before God, then things become evil, but really you're the one that made them evil by putting them first, right? We make things evil by putting things first. The things within themselves are just neutral. A car is a car. You need a car to go minister and pray and go make hospital visits or go pick up your children at school and drive them around and take them where they need to go. Is a car evil? Is that a thing that, well, if you have a multi-million dollar car thing, then that's evil. Oh, really? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, I'm not into things myself too much. You've heard me talk about that a time or two. But things, you know, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things get added to you. And who adds them to you? God. So God, is God adding evil things to you? No. So we got to keep this really straight. Every time you hear somebody say things are evil, you know, understand kind of what they're trying to say, but ask them specifically, what do you mean when you say things are evil? Make them make it plain. Make them make it clear, because they're contradicting the Bible. And I've contradicted the Bible a time or two on some of this stuff. I have. I really have. So maybe you have too. Maybe you're thinking that sometimes things are evil. But why would God say, Matthew 6:33, Jesus Christ himself said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what are the things that have come from his righteousness that are of him, the things that he added to you? If you're getting them yourself, going after them yourself, but if you're like, if God gives you an invention and the first, you know, money you make off of it, you donate it to God, or whatever portion God tells you to give, you know, you're saying, thank you, God, for this invention you gave me. You know, that's seeking God first. That's putting God first. That's giving God the glory for him giving you that thing, even though you worked hard hours on it, and you really gave your life to it. You know, it's not evil to work hard on things, but it's all about seeking God and seeking God first about how you do a thing, build a thing, start a thing, construct a thing. Whatever you're doing, if you're seeking God first in it, and I say, God, you know, how do you want me to do this, you know? And you may not know at first. You kind of take off, and you go, and one thing goes at least another, and pretty soon you come up with something pretty cool. And you're going, God, you know, thank you for this. So that thing that he adds to you, is that evil? Is that bad? Is it carnal to have lots of things? Well, things can have you. You can have things. But you can also have lots of things. You can have a hundredfold blessing in your life. And those things, anytime God says, I want that thing, you know, it's like when he asked of Isaac, he said, give me Isaac. You can tell Abraham didn't, you know, things are pretty big. Human being things, you know, you can make human beings idols too, right? Some people make their children idols. They do. They make their children idols. You can say what you want. They make their wife an idol, their husband an idol, their family idols. We get the family idol thing in America like never before. And that's why I think the family's falling apart when we put the family first. We have judges who promote women for being single and give them more money, and our court systems and our government give them more money for being single than they do for being married. So, hey, your husband gets to be a real pain in the neck, you know, you might make some money off of it, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? So we got to think about this in the light of the Word of God on everything, because a religious spirit will come in and count everything evil except you or something. I don't know, whatever they say. And I've said some of this stuff myself, so I'm pleading guilty to the charges of having, you know, gone overboard on some of those things. And but in all our getting, let's get it the Lord's way. In all our receiving, let's receive things, the blessings and all these things. Oh, things are just evil, Brother Chandler. Really? Have you read Matthew 6:33 lately? Yeah, read it. And clarify what you're saying when you say things are evil. Things are not evil. How can you call a chair evil? A chair is not evil unless you carve it into an idol or something and worship it. Or you make an object evil by worshiping it. The thing itself only got anointed by the devil and demons because you dedicated that thing to the devil or whatever you did, right? But things, just like money, money's not evil, but the love of it is, right? But if you love God first and you do whatever he tells you to do with the money he blesses you with, then you're going to be blessed, friend. You're just doing your own thing with your money. Yeah, you know what? Things are going to have you. Because you're trying to get things, you're trying to get stuff, you know, by hoarding, doing whatever you got to do it. And, you know, it just doesn't work. The things, when God created everything in the earth, he created all the gold in the earth, all the silver, all every rock, every stone, every beautiful stone. He created trees. He created, you know, people worship trees. They do all kinds of things. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, they put the creature before the creator. Let me get that scripture for you. I think so, right? All right, Romans 5, Romans 1, 25. Watch this for a second. This is really cool. The exchange of truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Let's read that says God's wrath against sin. The verse above that one says, therefore God gave them over in the desires. God gave them over in the desires of their heart to impurity for dishonoring of their bodies with one another. Talking about sexual things, part of it there. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever worthy of praise. For this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions, right? For their women exchanged natural relationships to unnatural ones. So it's kind of obvious right there. Right? Are people bad? No, our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, if it belongs to the Holy Spirit, if we're honoring God with it. But if we're doing things with other people, having, you know, like in this case, sexual encounters going on that are an abomination to God, then your body becomes, you know, defiled. But you made your body defiled. Your body within itself is neutral. It's what you do with it. So really, it's our choices and things that we do. So what I'm trying to do is really open up the fact that everything God created, the gold, the silver, all those beautiful stones, the diamonds, the rubies, you name it, all those things, the trees, all of the fish, you know, when you realize and you keep in mind that God made all those things, so the only thing that makes it evil is you making it evil or me making it evil, right? Because we do things with things that God says don't do, even with each other, our physical body. So really, and then the religious spirit gets in there and starts calling everything evil, because that's the only way some people can stay away from things, because they have a weakness for things. Because they have a weakness for things, they have to convince themselves that things are evil. So they tell other people things are evil because they themselves have to convince themselves that things are evil so that they won't want things. Obviously, they have a problem with things. So, but, you know, whatever they got to do, but we got to do the Word of God, what the Word of God says. And hear what the Bible says about things, right, instead of what we say about things, and start reading scripture about what things in the right order and where they belong, so God can bless us with the things that we need. God wants to bless us, friend. He wants to bless us big time. He really wants to bless you with things. He wants to give you things. He's a things kind of God. But you got to seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all those things, he will add to you. He will add them to you. He can add gold and silver a mountain high because you put him first. Right? And you have to keep putting him first. You have to keep. It's like when I, you know, taking communion, you know, to remind myself that my works, if I just doing something of my own, are worthless. It's the works that Jesus did on the cross that I live for, keep my eye on, the works that he's done for me, not the works that I do. Although the works I do, if he tells me to do them and it produces some kind of blessing in the thing realm, then hallelujah. If you're going to use the thing to preach the gospel, or you're going to use the thing to make money, and give God all the glory, then those things are sanctified and set apart by God. There's nothing wrong, nothing evil about any of that stuff, right? Unless you beget it evilly. Evilly, is there a word, evilly? It is now, I think. Right? So I think that's, I don't know, I just got that on my mind before the show tonight. Because people, who want to serve God, they want to be pure, they sometimes go to extremes and things, and that's what I've done. I've definitely done that before. And so I begin to, you know, I convinced myself that things were kind of like evil. Like, I don't know why I thought my things, like my clothes, am I wearing evil clothes because they're things? I'm going to run around naked. That's why I don't have anything on me. It's all evil. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? So where do we draw the line? What's evil? You got clothes on your back? Well, I just got clothes on my back, Brother Chandler. And because that's all I got, it's not evil. But if you have two or three of them, then, oh, you're bordering on it. So, you know, friend, that is just the biggest bunch of hogwash coming down the pipeline. But some religious people, most of you probably don't believe that, haven't had that problem. But here's the thing. Here's the reason we're talking about this. It's because God wants to bless you with things. Like, right, you know, when I started buying studio stuff for the studio, you know, I was buying a lot of things. You know, all those things were dedicated to God. All those things we were using, you know, for the kingdom of God. It didn't make it evil because we had those things, you know. And I've never really been a things person as far as, you know, in my own opinion. Maybe it's just my opinion. But when you start understanding that in order for God to bring you the things that you need to do the work he's called you to do, you may need a lot of things. You may need a lot of things. God may have things in store for you to have. He wants to add to you because you're seeking first his kingdom, and the thing that you have becomes blessed. It's like the earth, all the gold, the silver, everything, it was all blessed until it started being used for evil. It was all glory. It was something God created. God created all those things. What makes them evil? When we take them and use them for ourselves. We take them and dedicate them to doing things our way, not seeking God about it, not giving him the glory for it. Because it's just, imagine this. Everything in the earth was been created by God. And when we don't give him the glory for it, what are we saying? We're saying, oh, God, you didn't make that. I got that myself. When you don't bless God with what he's blessed you with, give him a portion of that. You know what you're saying to God? You're saying, God, nah, you know, you didn't really make that. You didn't really bless me with that. I'm not going to share that with you. You know, just because you created everything, gave me my body, gave me my brain, gave me everything I have, and all you want is 10%, you know, I don't know. That's not a very good deal. It's not a very good business. I tell you what, friend, I would take that business deal with anybody who supplies everything and all these. And when you get through the thinking, you're going to at least, we're going to wrestle over who gets 40, who gets 60. They get 60 or we get 60. We get 40 or they get 40. And what's going to be? But everything's theirs. And maybe it should be 80-20. 80 for them, 20 for us. You know, or 60-40. But no, God goes, all I want from everything I made, everything is 10%. That's it. 10%. The rest of it's yours. We are so greedy. I mean, our flesh, my flesh, your flesh, our flesh is so greedy that it will just slap God in the face and say, you know what, God? Without really saying it, you know, stuff it, man. You know, I worked this, I did this, I did all this stuff. And, you know, you think you're going to get 10? I need that money. I need that. And we totally robbed God of his glory. And guess what? When you take the anointing away from your things by giving God the glory, guess what happens to your things? They turn into decay and rust and fall apart. And one thing after the other, your money just start like get falling through your pockets. You're going like, where's my money going? Gotta be going somewhere. Somebody's stealing it. Yeah, you're stealing it. It's being stolen because you opened the door. I opened the door to that stuff. Right? We gotta give God the glory for it. Because when you take the glory off of something, the glory is you gave God, thank you for the money, thank you for the job. Thank you for this toaster I just got. I'm going to toast my bread in the morning, whatever. And I give you the glory for it. Thank you for it, God. May it be blessed. And sometimes you need to stop and bless your things and say, God's going to say, but you didn't give me the glory for that toaster, so I don't know how long it's going to last. You're on your own. You have no protection. You made a bottle protection thing. Without my protection, it's going to be nothing but pain in the neck. A pain. Yeah. One way or the other. Yeah. So we give God the glory for something. It keeps the glory on the thing. What's the glory? It's God's security. It's God's blessing, right? And it belongs to God. Therefore, it's righteous. It's blessed. He added that to you. You gave him the glory for it, right? He's not asking for everything. That's for a small 10% of what he's given and giving you the blessing. You know, and believe me, friend, I've been doing this for a long time, and when your flesh gets going, your flesh will not want to give God glory for anything. That's what our flesh is. My flesh, your flesh, our flesh. That's what the flesh does, right? So we have to starve our flesh to death, crucify it regularly, and give God the glory in every way, not just with our mouth, but with everything. And so I know most of our PGN friends, they already do that. So this is, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But to those who are struggling with it, and sometimes people get tempted. You know, you've been tempted. I've been tempted a lot of times to not do things that I know I'm supposed to do. We all do that. So sometimes preaching and ministering is to remind you, don't let the devil get you on that, because once you stop giving God the glory for the things he's blessed you with and the things he's added to you, then guess what, friend? You're not seeking him first, and that thing is not going to be added to you. It's going to be taken away from you one way or the other, or not ever given to you, the things that he wants you to have, right? So this whole thing, friend, this whole thing, it's a thing, is about giving God the glory so that all the things that you need, all the people you need in your life can be added to you, and it will be God's blessing in your life, right? Because you've done it God's way and given God the glory for it, right? And giving God the credit for it. And that keeps the glory of God. It keeps the security plan on your stuff, you know, and you don't have to worry about it. The reason we worry about it, because we haven't put it in God's hands, right? Have you gone over there and blessed your toaster lately? I don't know why I brought up toaster, but this is one of those many things. Your car, your house, your refrigerator. Yeah, go over there and bless it. Touch it. Thank you, Lord, for this refrigerator. Thank you for getting old. Time for a new one, you know. Thank you for a new one, Jesus. Yep, give me the glory for it. Supply. Thank you, Lord. And you're trusting for everything. Trusting God for everything means you're putting him first. Believing God. Okay, God, I just got an extra $100 in. Can I spend it on a new fridge or new toaster or... What do I do with this? You know, we're seeking God with it, right? And that thing becomes anointed. That thing becomes blessed. That thing becomes a thing that it can be so blessed. When you cook food in your oven, because your oven is so blessed by God, when it cooks it's got an anointing in it. People are like, man, I don't know why this food's so good, but this is awesome. Because you've given it to God, and the blessing of God is on it. And all these things... And when people start eating your food and they start feeling like, man, it's special, you're going to go, yeah, thank you, Lord. I know what that is. There ain't nothing in it that I haven't had in there before. It's the same old thing, but it's just getting blessed. My things are getting blessed. And I worry less about my things because my things belong to God. He gave them to me. If he wants them back, he can have them. Right? You gave me Isaac. I give Isaac back to you, Father, if it's what you want. You ask of me, it's going to be hard. I'll do it, but I will do it. Right? That's how God kept a check on Abraham and all the things. That's why Abraham was blessed with so many things. Look at what he did. He was willing to give his greatest thing, his greatest blessing, his Isaac, the son of promise. He was willing to give that to God and kill it and destroy it. He was willing to do that, which was what kept the blessing on Isaac to pass it down from generation to generation, which kept the blessing on Abraham's things, because God knew if he gave him Isaac, everything below Isaac, all the things, the cattle, the horses, the camels, whatever, the sheep, he knew, God knew that, that Abraham gives me everything. He seeks me first, because when I asked his son of him, we had to wait and see if he could be, I just wanted to see if you'd do it. He goes, I knew you would. I figured you would, but I had to see it for myself. We had to actually put it into action, watch you do it, transaction that blessing upon your things. And that's why God told Abraham, your things are going to be many. And Abraham goes, he didn't go, oh, no, God, don't bless me with things. Just bless me with some good children. You're going to need a lot of things for those children, son. You're going to have multiple millions and millions of children. You're going to have camels, millions and millions and millions of camels. You're going to have all kinds of things. And if you'll bless me, I'll bless your things, and even the things that go down, pass down to your children, that blessing will be on them, and I'll be able to get on them and get them to give it to me like you did. And the blessing that Abraham had on him was that his sons gave God everything. That's why Isaac was so blessed and had a hundredfold during famine. I wouldn't say he was smarter than everybody. No, he had nothing to do with that. You plant a seed in the ground, it's a seed in the ground. Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that it grew and yielded a hundredfold was shocking to everybody. Why did it do that? Because he had blessings on those things. Those seeds were things. But they were things that belonged to God because Isaac belonged to God. Literally, he gave everything he was and everything he had. He said, God, if you want any of this, it's like my daddy did me. I can only imagine Isaac never forgot. Got to think about this. Isaac never forgot what his father did on that mountain that day because he was old enough to remember that. He wasn't like a little bitty baby. Now, he offered him up as a young man. I don't know how old he was, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. But he remembered every bit of it. Just think about that when God's blessing him. Yeah, I remember when my daddy took me up on that mountain, tied me up. I said, Dad, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. You're my daddy. I know you love me. I know you're doing something for God because Abraham had to talk to his grandchild about God. He didn't just talk about it. He gave. He was a giver. He gave everything. Anything God wanted. It's obvious when he gave Isaac that anything God wanted from him, Abraham would give. What do you want? Okay. What happened? God's blessings on his things were so abundant, it was unbelievable, and the blessing to this day on the Jewish people is amazing because of Abraham. That's why they look to Abraham. Friend, your things are important. What are you doing with them? Let the devil start lying to you and telling you, it don't matter. You give that back to God. It don't really matter. You know, you worked hard for that. You used your brain for that. You used your gifts for that. You used your abilities for that. You used your time for that. You don't need that. That's all yours. Forget this 10% partnership with God. How dare he ask you of anything? Right? That's really what that boiled down to, friend. For you, for me, for everybody. Abraham was blessed because it was proven that when he gave his son, his only begotten son, that everything he had belonged to God, including himself. When he gave Isaac, he more was giving himself than giving Isaac. But in giving your things that you give, shows. He said, I just wanted to see. It shows to God. God wants to sell. God already knows I love him, but I never give him anything. Never been a man. He asked me to do stuff for him, and I just, I ain't got time for that right now. I'm busy. You wonder why God's blessings are not on your things, friend? You just have to strive for them, fight for them, sweat for them, almost lie to get them. Y'all have truths, right? Okay, that's what happens to all of us when we don't give to God first. And Abraham got God's blessing because he didn't just talk about it. Oh, yeah, we just love the Lord. He's so awesome. Hey, how about giving me your son? Sorry, you got to be kidding me. That's mine. That was my seed, my woman. I spend time raising him, and you're going to ask him for him? That's not even right. That's not the way Abraham looked at it. That's why Abraham was so blessed, y'all. He was so blessed because he gave God all the glory for anything he wanted. That's what a covenant is, friend, is giving God. And sometimes people want to give him 1%. We don't give him much of anything. And it's what we do that God just wants to see if we really do love him. Or are we just talking about it? Did you ask me to do something for him? It'd be a really good friend if you could do it. He asking you for more of your time. You say, well, I really don't have time right now. Sometimes you have to make time to get more time. Yeah. Right. God's talking to me about all this, y'all. I'm telling you. Talking to me about every bit of this. When somebody comes after your stuff, whatever it is, you know, if you've given that to God, I guarantee you somehow or another, he's going to turn it out for good. They stole something, you about ready to get rid of that thing anyway. And, you know, what did God do? Open the door for get something brand new for nothing. When you give it to God, that's what God does. You don't have to lie. No, that thing wasn't an old thing. That thing was, like, worth a lot of money. okay, well, let's give you a lot of money back. Or you can work on it. Yeah, no, that thing was worthless. Be honest about it, yeah. And just watch, be honest with the truth, and watch God bless you. He will bless you, bless you, bless you. And, right? Yeah. Yeah. And an ashes to fire, right? Lied to God about what? Their things. They lied to God about their things. What happened to them? Oh, they didn't just get rebuked. They got whacked. Pretty severe case, my God. It was, woo, Lord, you go whacking, man. It's like whack time. We don't want none of that. Right? Yeah, that'd be pretty serious, didn't it? They'd be some pretty bad people to get that thing going on. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? They started out with one little thing and then another. Oh, I'm not going to give God that. No, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. Pretty soon, everything was theirs, and they could just lie about anything he wanted to, anytime they wanted to. When they walked in there, it's just something they've been doing for a long time. It started many years ago. God adding blessings to them and adding things to them, he took their very life away from them, right in front of everybody. And then his wife. It's amazing what things can get you in trouble with. Like Ananias and Sapphira, oh, it was about money. You sell it for this much? Oh, yeah, and you're giving the whole thing? Oh, yeah. They were lying like dogs. Both of them. God dealt with both of them. It was really sad. What was that? That was an extreme thing, but it was it all of those extreme things began with little lies, little things here and there that built up. Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, they were not seeking God's kingdom first, and they were starting to become unrighteous. Therefore, all their things were taken away from them, literally, instead of things being added to them. So they were looking, obviously, to their money than they were to God. And Peter says, you're not lying to me, to man. You're lying to God. Wow, that's like, whoa. What an amazing thing. Yeah, so this extreme thing. We go to extreme either way, but all those extreme things begin with something small. Being a little here, a little there, not giving God the glory. Yeah, and we've all done it. Yeah, to one degree or the other, most of us have. So we've got to learn to shut it off, cut it off, stay righteous, tell the truth, you know, do the right thing, do righteousness. Put God first, and things will be added to you, and they will be called glory things. Yep, really, really awesome. Okay. Anyway, I didn't plan on staying on that long, but there we go. We did it anyway. Yeah. All right. One last little thing, I'm going to move on. Well, I'm not going to go there. No, let's not go there. Let's take callers. All right, taking our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. It is PGN Wednesday night. We don't talk much, so if you get on there and start talking, I may just say, sorry, we don't talk on Wednesday, in case you forget, or maybe you're new. We just take a quick prayer request, and maybe once in a while, if there's some amazing testimony, I'll let people do that, because sometimes it builds people's faith up to receive from God. But other than that, we just don't do it, okay? All right. I've been really, really busy lately. If I've missed some of your emails, texts, phone calls, please understand. I think I'm busier right now than I've been in a long, long, long time, going hard all day and then on and on. But I love it. You know, I love it. I'm not complaining. I do love it. But, man, wow. Okay, so I sometimes have cycles in my life where I'll get 2 phone calls and texts and stuff. But I will catch up. All right, just letting you know about that. So please understand and be patient with me. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's take callers tonight. 202, you're first. 769, you're second. 863-605, you're third. 214-645. You're after that. 610, you're after that. 912-398, you're after that. 402-650, you're after that. 325-280, you're after that. 754-2825, 855 after that, 312 after that, 803-991 after that, 612-991 after that, 903-808 after that, 608-960 after that, and then the rest of you guys will have your hands up. Got four or five of you. All right, people will call you and show because of the time zone, because the call from California to New York. So I will call and letter and make sure and get that hand up, please, so I don't miss you. All right, we want to make sure and get you on Wednesday. It's the only time I really get to pray for you guys, so I appreciate if you help me by getting on there and just letting me pray for you. I mean, let's just believe God. We're not, you know, it's not about prophesying on you so you can get something. It's about, you know, the gifts in the word of the Lord. It's like preaching in a whole different way, ministry, but it's to you personally. That's why I dedicated Wednesdays to this time, because I really love doing it. I don't know if you can tell, but I actually love doing it. And I do. I love it. Yeah. I just love it. So just know that. And get on there and know that we love doing this. This is not a big labor. And I'm just like, please pray for me so I can make it this. I love this stuff. And we love doing it. We love serving God's people. All right? So I know you're the same with your stuff, too, so you understand what I'm talking about. All right, 202, let's take you first. 202-722, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland and D.C.
All right, thank you very much, Daryl Paul. You can tell he's been working on that. Now he mentions both their names, and then he says Maryland and D.C. Go get that. He's highly trained. Either Nicole's just training him or he's training himself. Either way, it's the Lord, right? Yeah. We know that. Okay. Congratulations, you guys, on being our first caller tonight. Thank you for that. Thanks for being with us. All right, Daryl Paul. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul. Thank you for the wisdom, God, giving him wisdom, God. Wisdom sometimes corrects us. Sometimes it adds to what God's already doing in our life. I feel like God's trying to add wisdom to you. He's given you wisdom before, and when God does, he likes to build on the wisdom he's given to you before. So I think you can expect God to build your wisdom and giving you nuggets of wisdom and open up your eyes to brand new things and showing you how to prosper and how to be blessed, you know, with a wisdom. And not the best way to be blessed and prosper, of course, everybody likes the money thing. We all like that. Everybody likes that. We don't have to love the money. We can like it. I like it a lot. It's a lot of fun. Take care of business, help people, do that kind of thing. But I'm talking about wisdom that helps you do things. I love creating things. I love working on certain things. I love a challenge of certain things. And when God gives me the answer, I mean, out of the blue, just supernaturally, Daryl Paul, I love that more than anything. When he gives me wisdom about something, where I'm just like crying, God, help me. You know, show me what to do, man. I mean, it's better than $1 million. Sometimes it can save you $1 million. I'm talking really big on that one. Save me a couple of hundred. I get down to my real lifestyle. So he can save you time and money and effort and a lot of frustration having to pay somebody else to tell you what to do, right? You know, or whatever. God can just give it to you for free, right? Because that's what he is. He pays us. He gives us wisdom and gives us revelation, thing, understanding of things, so that we can make our life easier. Because here's the goal, Glenn, I almost called you Glenn Paul. I know it's my name, Glenn Paul. Kinfolk, actually. What was that all about? Anyway, Daryl Paul. So Daryl, when God gives wisdom, He gives you something that adds to your life and makes your life better, where you sweat less, right? Sweating means you have to really work hard and, you know, do all this, a lot of work and figure something out and work it out. You finally get the answer and it's like, man, I was going to get it. Oh, my God. But wisdom comes, you get it quick and easy, right? And it's free from God. It's free from the Lord. From the heavens, it comes from the heavens, and it's free. And it's, it makes you get things done quicker. And when you get wisdom from God, it fixes a thing or does a thing, gives you information or something to make everything go smoother, make everything go better, make everything go easier. Right? Maybe there's a blessing of God on it. Wisdom has the blessing of God on it. So if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and he shall receive it. I mean, isn't that cool? He didn't say anything about paying money or, giving your time to the local community center. You just ask. And God's going to help you with things, get things done easier, with less sweat, and be prosperous. And prosperous, I mean, have more time to do other things, right? To get things done quicker and easier and prosper you overall. Yeah. All right. Amen. God wants to prosper you. He wants to show you prosperity, what true prosperity is. It's God's blessing on your money. Not money. It's God's blessing on your money. Giving you wisdom on how to use your money, how to invest, what to do, what to not do, think things through and, all that kind of thing with wisdom and save you, time and effort and mainly stress. Stress-free. Wisdom causes us to be stress-free. I stayed a little long on that one. I really wanted to explain that as God gave it to me. That was really awesome. All right. Thank you for Nicole tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing on her, God. We thank you, Lord, for, compounding, the evidence of her faith, God, bringing the evidence of her faith to light. Hang on a second here. Okay, I'm trying to look at the word. Give me a second here. Okay. Okay, I got the word compound. Of course, I didn't know what that was, compound. Let's look it up here. A thing that is composed of two or more separate elements, a mixture. Air smelled like a compound of diesel and gasoline, for instance. What a horrible example. Made up or consisting of two or more existing parts or elements. I don't have a clue what that for. Made up, a composite whole, constitute. Made up, a composite whole, and constitute. Okay, it's getting too deep for me. All right, so still here. I'm trying to get this second thing. A chemistry, a compound is a substance that made up of two or more different chemical elements combined in a fixed ratio. When the elements come together, they react with each other and form chemical bonds that are difficult to break. That could be a good thing, right? I'm Googling this. I don't have a clue what all this is. So I don't know what that is exactly, but it's really cool. Yeah, so God giving you, the ability to never waste anything. It's a whole different word here. I'm guessing it's a whole different word. To never waste anything. There's a book written by somebody that's really good, Paul Billheimer, I think. Don't waste your sorrow. Maybe somebody else. Don't waste your sorrows. And not just wasting sorrows is not the only thing, but there's a lot of things that we don't waste. Some people use things. My mom and dad were really good about using something. I mean, we used our car until it just, it wasn't till my dad wouldn't overuse it, but he would use something to its fullest. He didn't waste anything. And it wasn't like he was stingy or pinchy. He used things to their fullest. He didn't waste anything. And when he bought something, he wore his clothes until, when they started getting wear and tear in the wrong way, he would use them. He didn't waste things. So I see God really giving you the ability to use things to its fullest. Like when God gives you a word, information that you seek God with it until you get you chew the cud until there's no more cud to chew. Right? That's why I chew the cud a lot. I sometimes repeat this myself again and again. Sometimes people think I'm, I don't know what they think, but I'm chewing the cud. Because when I talk, when I speak, because this is my job, when I speak, it opens up information. So sometimes I repeat the same information, looking for more information to follow it. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. Makes you look kind of foolish sometimes, but you know, it's just what I do, because I'm chewing the word until I get everything out of it. Because when we learn to use everything God gives us to the fullest, not waste anything, Nicole, then He takes us to a whole other level of blessing, right? He said, "That girl don't waste nothing, man. She didn't throw nothing away. She gets to the point. She uses her stuff to the fullest, and that's what God wants to do. He didn't want us to waste a thing. In God, there is no waste. So, anyway." All right, there you go. Something about, I don't know what all that is exactly, but God trusts you because you don't take anything for granted or waste things. You use them to the fullest, and God gets His fullest glory out of everything. You get a word, you get information, you study it, look into it, and you just keep on looking, keep on asking until you get everything there is to get out of that one word or that information or that thing or whatever thing is. All right? All right, there you go. So God's going to bless you because of that. Amen. All right. All right. So, all right, 769-220, I think this is Andrika.
Andrika and Chris in Georgia.
Hey, y'all. Good to be with you tonight. Thank you, Andrika. Hang on a second. Okay, Andrika and Chris tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika and Chris. God, we thank you, Lord, for that unlimited blessing thing, taking all the caps off, taking all the limitations off. God opening up this thing of moving you into the unlimited realm, showing you first, I think what's going to happen first is God's going to show you, it's going to take you a whole other place spiritually. Man, I feel this deep in my spirit. It's going to take you to a whole other place spiritually. Where you catch the understanding, you know, maybe in simple ways, maybe in just ways that the way that you can get it, the way you can understand it, that, you know, there's no limit to God's blessing. And he's wanted to show you to take the limits off, how to take the limits off, and do it in every area of your life, with your marriage, with your friendship, with your business, with your children, with God. Because when we seek God first, then God gives us. He's always his thing is to multiply us, increase us exponentially, never stopping it. God's ability to multiply us and increase us is made in a sense that, like seed time and harvest, will always be seed time and harvest. Is it ever going to stop? Never going to stop. And the more we learn how to increase, you know, our wisdom, our knowledge from God. We learn how to increase. Everything's a seed, and God's going to show you. He's going to give you a revelation on this or something. I'm not sure exactly what I'm talking about here, but He's going to give you wisdom, revelation on how to have the take the cap off of things, where you know we got so far and like we're butting our head against the ceiling or whatever the wall, and like you butt your head against that wall, butt your head against the wall, and all of a sudden you know the Lord says, "Okay, I'm going to give you." Because you're asking me for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you ability. Because once you get it in your spirit, in your mind, then you'll just step right into it. It's like when they bred, and all of a sudden on the road to Emmaus, and they realized Jesus was talked to them the whole time. Why? Because their minds got open. Their minds got open, Andrika, for you and Chris, to know that when God opens up your mind, you can have something right in front of you that's the answer and never see it. Right? They had Jesus right in front of them and didn't even know it was him. And they're all crying to him about Jesus who, you know, we don't know what happened to him. We thought he was the guy and he was talking to them, right? It's just typical of us. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden he breaks bread with them, right? And their eyes are open. And so this is what I'm talking about. It's like God's going to open your eyes to things that are maybe right in front of you. I don't know if it's right in front of you or not, how to explain that, but you're all of a sudden going to go like, man, I never saw that before. This has been happening to me lately, especially since I've been doing my brain thing. But I'm also learning other things out to increase God and take the limits off of God. And And so all of a sudden my mind is opening up. Oh my God, what did I think? Why? What have I been doing? It's right there. I could have, you know, I should have, you know, I should have been doing this already, but why didn't I? I don't know. My eyes got open. My brain got open. And all of a sudden I'm going like, wow, this is simple and easy. Why didn't I think of this? You know, and it's just starting to happen to me. And I want to speak that blessing over you and Chris tonight that happened in your marriage, in your friendship, in your love life, and everything you do, how to increase and go to bounds that are unlimited. There are no limits. There are no limits in God. So, God, I thank you for that, for giving them all the things that you're seeking God about. It's God wants to answer. If we ask him, he will answer us. There's no limit. But we have to sometimes, you know, pursue him and seek after him until it happens, right, until it comes. And then, you know, somehow break bread with him, spiritual. I'm not saying taking just communion. I'm talking about, like, you know, breaking bread with him. Yeah. And communing with him. He's going to show you. I feel it. I can't explain it. I feel it. I see it. And once you get that in your spirit, man, then it's going to happen in your business, going to happen in your family, going to happen in your relationship. You're going to pass it down to your children, and they're going to see the blessing of God in your life. It'll be awesome. That's for you and Chris both. So combine that together, God. Give them wisdom. One puts 1,000, 10 puts 2,000. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Amen. All right. So in Jesus' name, bless them, God. Increase them and multiply them. And open up their eyes to that never-ending, that undying love realm. The undying love realm. The undying love realm in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 863-605. I think this who I talked to you from, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you pray that we get a vehicle because our truck blew up?
It blew up?
Yeah, we got our other car got T-boned, and I was on the way to the doctor's office, and the truck just decided to start knocking and took it to our mechanic. He said, this truck is done, so we have no vehicle.
Well, if women wouldn't drive trucks like they do, we wouldn't have that problem.
Charles is driving.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I didn't say he was a girl. I just said, anyway, he busted me. All right, my God. Well, that's
all
really
right,
crazy.
Man.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll pray about that. All right.
Thank you, Randy.
I'll be giving you guys a call. I know you asked me to give you a call. I'm going to call you here in a little bit. I don't know. I'm so busy right now. It's just so crazy. But all right, we love
it's
you guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We love you too.
All right. Okay, thank you. All right. I give him a hard time, of course. And thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles, God. And got busted on that one, Charles. Sorry, I tried to blame it on her, but, you know, make you look good. But, no, that kind of got turned around. I don't know. I got to start being more serious. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for making a way where it seems to be in a way, and so they can have a way to get around, to go away from the house, out where they're going to go. Take away where there seems to be no way and open it up for him, Jesus, and cause them to be blessed and open up the doors for them, God, so you can cause them to see what they need to see. You know, getting blessed is really like I was telling with Andrika and Chris just before you guys. It's about getting your eyes open to that. And I'm telling you what, I've got my eyes open, and it goes from, it's like peeling an onion. It's from level to level. And when we realize that there's no limit of God on us, that we put limits on ourselves, I realize that it's not about how smart we are, as you know. It is about asking God to open up our eyes. Every time I take communion, I say, God, open up my eyes. That's why I get a lot. I think I get a lot of revelation, you know. And because I think I do get a lot of revelation, actually. You know, it's because I break bread with him, you know, and he opened my eyes. Thought, wow, I can't believe I didn't see that. Why didn't I see that? Like years ago, it would have changed my life, you know, because I don't know how to break bread with him. And so when I start breaking bread with him, you know, whatever I need, he just opens my eyes how to get it, how to receive it, how to open up myself to it and for it. It's not a positive confession thing. It's the eating bread with Jesus thing. Eating's a lot better than a positive confession. It's a lot easier to have to eat than it is to have positive confession, right? I'm just messing with that a little bit too. But course, positive confession is good if you understand what's really going on. But eating bread with Jesus opens up our eyes, and we got to have our eyes open to the provision realm. And therefore, you know, whether God uses somebody or drops a car out of heaven or whatever he does it, you know, it's because our eyes got open. So, Lord, so I really think that God wants you to do that is pray, not so much for a car, although we got to pray for a car too, or a vehicle, but that God will open your eyes to his provision at a higher level, right? That's what I do all the time. It just opened up my eyes just recently, just the last few days maybe the last week or so. You know, yeah, I said, God, every time I take communion, God, open my eyes. Like the guys on the road to the med, opened his eyes. Jesus opened up a lot of brains, opened up a lot of minds, so their minds could conceive it and understand it. Because what you can conceive, what God can open up your mind to conceive, you can have it. That literally is true. Not confession thing, it's him opening up your eyes. So pray that, ask that, you know, focus on that. If you take communion with us tomorrow night, or whenever you guys do the communion thing, and then anytime, just eat some bread. And, like, you know, I think when he broke bread with them, he wasn't taking communion. I think he was just breaking bread with them, having fellowship with them. But breaking bread just seemed to be the blessed thing. So maybe sit in the meal, sitting at a meal, get some bread and say, you and Charles say, Jesus, we break bread with you and have a plate for him, like they do Elijah at the Jews have a place for Elijah, a seat for Elijah. Have a seat for Jesus and say, Jesus, we break bread with you. All right, that's just what I'm getting. So God, give them that wisdom and show them how to do that. Amen. 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 Sorry, Charles, I didn't mean to get you in trouble. Anyway, I know y'all still love me. Okay, all right, bye. All right, 214-646, to my talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, you guys, let's talk about this real quick. You guys sent me a text today. It was so awesome. You gave a word on your show on the 12th of July. That's this month. And tell them about that just for a second. Yeah, tell them what happened.
Yeah, so we're talking about, and I talked about it again tonight, but, on the 12th, we were talking about how the government's going to start to say that aliens are real, and that it was going to be part of what the world's going to use to promote the one world religion, because the logic's going to be, you know, well, the Bible is the God of humans. There's no mention of aliens and that kind of thing. So that's not a real religion, because now we have proof that there's aliens. And so they're going to create this one world religion so that everybody, you know, everybody is one, and everybody's love and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, it might sound kooky and crazy, and I'm probably sounding like I should have a tinfoil hat on, but this is, you know, this is a word that God has given me. And I told about how even when I was in my early 20s, a guy I used to work with, he used to wear this shirt that had an alien with one of those red slashes. And we used to make fun of him. But one day we were like, what's the shirt about? And he said God told him that in the end times that the government was going to say aliens were real, and that it was going to be a sign that the end was coming, and that all these, you know, biblical prophecies were going to come to pass. And I believed him immediately. I was like, I believe that. And so the Lord had brought that back to my remembrance. And so that's why we talked about that on the show, about the aliens.
So the
and
government
going to come out and say, go ahead. I'm
but
sorry.
Now they're now, so the point that the next point is, I know you're going to make, I'm going to help you with that one real quick, is, so they actually came out and now they're saying that, what the government is now saying, what you're saying, right? They're actually saying it.
Right. There's a whistleblower. There's been these congressional sessions, and a whistleblower came out and said that the government has had UFOs, and that one of the UFOs had pilots, and that they did some testing on it, and it was non-human. So basically saying that, you know, they're aliens.
I think they did a test on me one time a couple of years ago, and they said I wasn't human, but what does that mean? My family would probably go, yeah, he's definitely not human. Yeah, so they actually did that. So they're saying all that stuff. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Interesting. That's very interesting. So you guys talked about that on the 12th of July, and then what, that news article just came out just in the last few days or something? I didn't look at the date on it when you sent it to me.
It came out today.
Today? Oh, today. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Woo! Put your tinfoil hats on, except let's wear gold foil hats. How about that? Instead of 10, we're going to go for the gold. That's awesome, girl. Congratulations on that, y'all. Really cool. Hope you'll be talking about that more soon. Yeah, explain that a little more. We'd like to have. All right. So I'm praying for you and Terrence. That's it tonight?
Yes.
Okay. We'll pray for that gold hat blessing to that cheap tin foil that I used to wear. No, I never really wore it. Well, did I wear tin foil? I might have. Anyway, in a play once, I think I did. Oh, okay. Let's get back to being serious here. And thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. I would have never thought about that. That is amazing. And I don't know anything about it, but it sounds like a definite sign. And Tanisha gets that stuff, and Terrence gets stuff too, y'all. You need to make sure check into the show and check them out. There are Wednesdays, and I send alerts out every Wednesday for their show at 7 o'clock, so make sure and catch them. They're on tonight, as you heard her say. So, all right. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Hallelujah. May God open up much, much more, that will be brought forth. And, you know, just begin to reveal things that need to be revealed. There's things that are hidden that need to be revealed, things that need to be talked about before they happen, like you guys did on that. And, kind of nailed like you just did it recently. Then here it comes out on, you know, the thing about that is you talked about it the 12th of this month. And then what, a couple of weeks later, or what's the date? Okay. Whatever the date today is, I'm keeping that. Today is the 26th. So that's like, you know, a week and a half later or so. There it is coming right out of the news. I mean, that stuff is amazing. That stuff's cool. So thank God for that. Thank you for Jesus for giving that to them and being the privilege of having them on PGM with us and sharing that word and many more and many things, other things that you've had them do. God, I thank you for joining them together, Father, in this holy way. I know they're joined together in their life with God, but Lord, I thank you, God, that you're joining them together in Jesus' name and making them more one than ever. God, through all their struggles, all their battles, the thing that you're doing is you're melting them together, and where they can't come apart, you know what I mean? Where you can't, I know some people, when my mom and dad got older, you know, they would finish each other's sentences. They just knew each other. They were just, you know, almost when you saw one, you saw the other. And except my mom was a lot better looking than my dad, of course. By the way, I got my mom and dad picture on the website on my page, in case you guys want to check that out. I told you a long time ago I'd get up there and I totally forgot about it, but that's when they were younger. Anyway, so, yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that and for melting them together, God, in a way that being separated doesn't mean, you know, like legally being separated. I'm talking about where you are united. And when you're melted together, that means you're one. You're not two things that are connected. You're two things that are melted together and able to mix together and make one. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that and that blessing in their life, God, that where they feed each other, nurture each other, and teach other people how to feed and nurture each other, God, and release that prophetic information, Father, that you take into higher levels in the prophetic realm, God, like never before. Send them forth. Bring them forth, God, in Jesus' name, and anoint them with your Holy Spirit, Father, to bring forth clear, right-on-time work like that and the timing of those things. Timing is a big thing. You have a thing with timing. Too, Tanisha, there's something about timing. We did a thing with the Antichrist, giving the Antichrist name, and when the queen died, all that's just one of, I don't remember how many things we've had, but that was one really big one in my eyes. When you sent out that text at 1244, and the whole thing, 1244, matched up with, you know, every number that was going on that we were working on at that time. You heard the testimony, it's amazing. So thank you, Lord, for that timing, for that blessing. In Jesus' name, increase and multiply them, Father. Amen. And that all things, like Tanisha has been teaching on also, is all things work together for good. Amen. That all things work together for good. There's not one thing, no matter what men mean for evil, God's going to work it out for good in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So cool about that word. That's awesome. All right. 610-609-9950.
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA. And I remember when when that went down 2 weeks ago. That's cool. And I saw the report with the whistleblower with Terrence and Tanisha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came to pass that quick, 2 weeks. I saw the whistleblower report. Excuse me?
So that's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on fire like usual. But
I love it.
Yeah, it was so cool. And then I saw the whistleblower report, I think yesterday. So that's so cool. And
Okay.
I just want to mention one thing for Jeff and Yuki when you were talking to them last night. The intercession thing came on me heavy, heavy. So the Lord is really with them in this battle that they're in, this warfare. Yeah. So I was praying.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll encourage
them.
Right. Can you pray for Devontae too, please? Thank you.
Devontae, All right, thank you. All right, I'll be trying to do much of talking, but sometimes we do a little bit, teeny bit. On Wednesdays, we try to sanctify and set apart. So thank you for that, making it quick. Thank you, Jesus, for Devontae, Father. We just bless Devontae, God, that he's we're talking the other night about how that we're identified by God as with his DNA. And the whole DNA thing with Devontae, God, that you bring, you know, cause your blood, your nature, your character, your seed. We're not just trying to act holy and try to act like Jesus and try to act like the Lord. I think a lot of Christians think that's what it is really about. They're being very sincere, trying to act like Jesus, trying to be like Jesus. You know, I think, you know, we all do that sometimes without realizing it. But to have his seed within you, you just do what he does. You want to do what he does, even without knowing that he did it. And so I think that with my brother, God, that Devontae will, as that DNA thing inside of him, the nature of Christ come forth in him, God, and cause him to just start doing things that are of God, that he won't even go, oh, that's of God? That's in the Bible? Yeah, you didn't know that? No, I'm finding myself, I'm doing things. And so that's really the true change, is that the DNA part of us. Like you say, my mom used to tell me I was like my uncle. I don't think we ever tried to tell me I was like my father. I don't know why exactly, but you're just like your Uncle Lawson. You know, he was this and that. And he was so I wasn't a lot of things that he was, but he had some things that we were a lot like him. And it wasn't always great, some of it, you know. And I go, yeah, well, you know, whose fault that is. You gave me that DNA. You. Could have blamed her, right? Yeah. But same thing. So that DNA really does cause us to be like the people, DNA that we live in, and that we have the DNA of Christ, and we start, you know, having that. So thank you, Lord, for letting that take over his life, God, in Jesus' name, that the DNA of Christ, the desires. Oh, the DNA, the desire realm. Oh, I just got something. Hang on a second here. I got to write that down. I don't take Revelation for granted. DNA. Okay. All right, I'm sorry, y'all. When I get something, I got to stop real quick. Okay, I got to make a little note so I don't forget about that. Thank you, Lord, for that. God's really speaking to me big time about DNA right now, about his name, what his name means, that it's his blood in us, it's this genetic code in us, it's all that. So it's really, really big. I think there's something really big happening in that dimension with God's people, so we can be like him just automatically almost. A little bit of help, you know, a little bit of help. And all of a sudden we're just like, man, I'm being just like my daddy. Jesus, when you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because he was made of his DNA, man. You could just imagine a Mary saying, you just like your daddy. What, Mom? I don't have a daddy. Except my father, God. That's what I'm talking about, honey. You just like your father, God. Not Joseph, your father, God. You just did it just like your dad. Exactly, and that's what he did. He did just like his daddy. He never even saw his daddy in the earthly realm, in the spirit realm. He it shows you that when we have his DNA, that we just do his things. Anyway, all right, so I got to move on past that. But thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight, God. and open her up to the whole thing, how to pray it, how to help activate it, teachings on it, revelations on it, where we can help the body of Christ, people that are born again, to connect to their DNA, which is the part of them that gives them the desire realm, the desired nature. Ooh, there's an in part. I just got the in nature, desire, nature, something for A. I don't know what A is. Well, maybe I'll get it in a minute. DNA, desire, desire to nature, something like that. Anyway, I'm just doing this live right here on the show. I love it. DNA, desire, nature, activated. Oh, my gosh. If anybody's ever said that, I haven't had to give them credit for it, but I just got that, y'all. If anybody's ever said that, I'm sure probably somebody has, but DNA means desire, desired nature activated. Woo! My God. That's hot, man. Sorry. Lisa, I know you don't mind, but wow. DNA, desired nature activated. Desired nature activated. Activation, something like that. All right. Anyway, I'm very excited about that. And so obviously God, since I'm getting revelation right here with talking to you on it, talking to you about it, that there's something going on with it. And yeah, so anyway, open our eyes up to that Jesus new levels to help us. Because if we can help people open their eyes, we can open people's eyes to that, break the bread of the word. Woo, that's another one, breaking the bread of the word. Caught up getting revelation right now. I know. Breaking the bread of the word. I have to write this stuff down. Breaking the bread. Eating bread. Jesus. My gosh. Is breaking bread or eating bread with Jesus is the word. Opening our eyes to whatever the word / bread / bread is saying to us. That's how I do it, y'all. Literally, I stop. I don't play. When I get revelation, I stop everything. And we're going to right in the middle of a show. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Amen. Amen and amen for that. Thank God. Oh, wow. I tell you what, this stuff's very real to me, too. When I get it, it's like I want to explode on the inside. It's really awesome. Okay, 402-650. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's John in Omaha. I was wondering if you could also pray not just for me and Nellie and Melissa, but also for my friend Trevor.
Okay, Trevor and who?
And Melissa.
Almost, yeah, okay. All right, great, John. And Trevor. Better write that down. Trevor and, of course, Melissa. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Lord, thank you for Trevor tonight, God. Thank you for showing Trevor, God, the value, the worth that he has. Of course, when we don't know that we're born again, we don't know that we're God's children, and know that at the Word of God level, then it's hard to know your value, because your value is revealed to you by the Word. God reveals by His Word, through His Word, by the Holy Spirit, our value. And when we see our value, then we start realizing we're very important. We're very valuable. And people just think, oh, I don't want to be valuable for God because I'm nobody. No, man, when you know you're God's child, you're going to say, God, it's like my mama and daddy saying, oh, that Randy boy, he ain't much. And I'm their child, right? And he ain't much. He came from us, he ain't much. And when we come from God, It's much. Where is baby? Where is child? Where is children? And he takes his children very seriously. And that Trevor will realize that he's a child of God, and that he needs to know the value that God places on him, not the value that the world places on him, but the value that God places on him. So he can walk above a lot of his, the things that mess with him, things that bother him, and open him up, God. Bless him in Jesus' name. Calling forth into that new place to understand that he is called to be a blessing. And when you're a blessing, God always blesses you. When you let God bless through you. Amen. And give him the glory and give him the credit for your life and everything he's giving you. Any gift, any blessings, give him the credit for it, and it'll multiply and increase, Trevor. Yeah. All right, Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for Melissa. Bless Melissa. God, give her compassion like she's never had before. Give her wisdom that she's never had before, God. Give her a whole another level of wisdom and compassion, that compassion and wisdom work together. Sometimes we have what we call compassion, but there's not much wisdom by it. In other words, we're just like, flopping around trying to fix everything when God says, God tells us Jesus was driven by compassion. He was moved by compassion. Why? The compassion has wisdom to it. It moves you the way what the Father wants to do instead of what we just think we should do. In other words, when God's compassion moves, it moves you toward what God's wanting to do, what God's wanting to work on, what God's wanting to work with, what he's wanting to fix, or what he's wanting to heal, whatever. For open our eyes up to that, God, for compassion, mixing, weighing out with a good measure, a balance of compassion and wisdom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. All right, for John, God, we thank you, Lord, for John. Lord, that you are showing him the way to be a leader, to lead, and to be an example, God, that will cause people to look up to him in ways, because God's given you a desire for people to look up to you. That's not a fleshly human desire. That's a God desire. Because when you're serving Jesus, John, when you're serving Jesus, Paul the Apostle said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." So we're made to want to be looked up to or followed. But it's got to be the following, just for the right reason, for the right purpose. It's got to give them something to follow, right? Give them something, if they're learning, growing, they're children, and they're learning, growing, they have somebody to be an example before them, right? And they're always looking for it. Because we're made to do that and made to be that. And may God make John a person that people can look up to, that whatever he does, he knows he's doing unto the Lord. And he, when people start doing what he does, he's not going to turn around and go, "Man, that's, what are you doing? Don't do that." And he said, "Well, but you did it." I went, "Oh." Instead, it's going to be like, hey, man, what you learn how to do that? That's awesome. John saying to the plan. And that person goes, "I learned it from you, man." I went, "Oh, my gosh, that's right. We did. Yeah. Ooh." Yeah. So people will want to follow what you're doing, what you believe. Amen. Yeah. A good example. All right. All right. 325-280. Who want to talk to Rebecca, please? All right, hang on a second. I'm having trouble. Just a minute here. Just a second. Something went. I got disconnected. Give me just a moment. Oh, yeah, let's go. Hang on a second. Here we go. Hang on just a second. 325, I lost everybody. Here we go. I think it's going to go on now. I can hear you. Okay, hang on just a second. I'm having a little minor issue here. Okay, y'all give me just a minute. It's been really a little bit slow. Second, I have a little mess that I fixed here.
Sorry, y'all. Give me a second, I apologize. Man. Y'all having a slow internet where you're at? I'm having a really slow internet here. Okay, I got it now. 65-280, talk to the phone, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah, I'm just feeling an increase, man. I feel an increase going with you. You know, sometimes when I'm entering into my biggest increases is when I've gone through my most insecure. Whatever the feelings that we have, our flesh, you know, because every time you break into the flesh into a new place, you break into the flesh. It's like we break into another level of the flesh. You know, if we've been in the spirit, and then we're breaking, we God for more, and then every time we break through the flesh, in the temple, there was the big. A curtain that was in between the holy place and the holy of holies. And, you know, you get to break through that thing. Well, Jesus tore it and opened it up. That's kind of our flesh. So I sense there's something like, well, I hope I explain this correctly. It's something like you are breaking through into a new place with God, and you're breaking through the flesh. So every time you break through something new, you go through that flesh thing, like breaking through the flesh. So you start feeling all this flesh stuff, this frustration, this needy, you feel weak, and then all of a sudden, boom, you break through to the other side, and you break that wall of separation, or that veil gets rented or torn, and it's a tearing effect. There's a real tearing effect with that. And sometimes when I'm walking in the breakthrough, I always hate it. I kind of know what's going on. I go, man, I hate it when this happens, but thank God for the victory. We're going to have something new here pretty quick, and finally it's like giving birth. It's like the pain before it comes forth. And so that's what I sense with you, like God is birthing something. And most of that stuff is information in our spirit, in our mind, being given to our mind, our soul, our mind, so we can understand new things. Maybe things we've talked about for years, we'll get a whole nother level of understanding, a whole nother level of wisdom on it. And when we get that, then we, with that revelation, we break through. And so that's what I'm sensing with you. It's like you're breaking through that and from the holy place to the holy of holies, in a sense, to a new place with God, a new level. And we do this a lot of times in our life. We that veil gets rent a lot of times in my life where I'm breaking through the flesh, and God is, you know, it's part of the process of going through from one place, like the holy of holies to the holy place. You go, you know, like Jesus rent the veil for a reason, you know, Yeah, priests had to go beyond that veil. So, but we spiritually experience the flesh like we feel like we're in the flesh. You know, we're feeling like, where's God at? What's going on? What's happening over here? And then, you know, boom. And it goes from glory to glory every time. That's kind of what we go through. So, I think Romans talks about that, where Paul says, when I want to do good, evil's there. You want to do good. You know, Paul talks about that. Feel like there's something good within me, and yet next minute, like David, when David worshiped the Lord, you could tell he was breaking through the flesh in a new area, because he was like, "Oh God, where are you at? You've left and forsaken me." And then a few minutes later, he's going like, "I'm in the glory, telling a new story, yeah, of the revelations of the Lord. Oh yeah, something like that." And you can see that he's breaking through that, you know, like you travel from one end of the holy place to the other place, and then to go into the holy place, you have to go through that veil. And so, yeah. So, I hope I made that clear. Sometimes spiritual things are a little bit harder to explain when we're actually experiencing them in our physical mind, in our mind, in our body. So I did my best there. Hope that makes sense. All right, brother. So God giving strength and courage, giving that extra boost, like when a woman's having a baby, you know, push a little harder and, you know, pop that thing right on out of there. Pop it out. Not like popping a pimple either. It's like, not even the same thing. It's like, push, push. With Joshua, it was like, be courageous. He's breathing in him, you know. Be strong. Be courageous. Give good courage. Because he knew his flesh. You know, he had to walk with Moses for a long time. And all of a sudden, he's right there. He's fixing to go to the walls of Jericho. Man, God, man, there's no way I can do that. Exactly. No way I can do that. What's that? The flesh talking. We all have flesh. It talks to us, especially when we're moving to a new area. It always talks to us right before we're breaking through. We get that, the storm before the breakthrough. That's what it is. When we understand that, we can get us courage to go through it. All right. Moving on here. Thank you, Chris. Bless you, man. All right, 754-255. Who want to talk to return, please? This is Donald and Tanya, I believe. All right, he said pray for, Donald said, ask us to pray for Tanya because Tanya's having acid reflux. Man, I hate that stuff. Ooh, I hate that stuff. Girl, dear Jesus. I know Jeannie from Texas has had issues with that too. I'm not sure exactly how she's doing on hers right now. I think she's been better. But hang on a second here. Whoops. That's a horrible thing. It's just like, wow. Suffering is just miserable. Thank God I don't have it anymore. By the grace of God, I used to have it. It ran in my family too, but somehow God showed me how to eat the right things and not eat certain things. With me, that's how it's different with everybody. With me, that's what it was about. Because I was a warrior, you know, back in the day, and still sometimes, you know, stuff can hit you. If you don't give it to God real quick, you know, it can mess with your stomach. That's me, you know. I just don't have acid reflux hardly ever anymore. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. So I know when you do have that attack, it's just God, give her the grace. Give her the glory, your glory. Let her drinking your glory. Let her drinking your rest. Let her drinking your food, your love, your nurturing, God. In Jesus' name, help adjust that. Teach her maybe what to eat or what not to eat. Maybe change a little bit of your diet, maybe, and along with believing God for the miracle. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, for to settle that. I command that acid reflux condition to turn around and be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. Settle. Let her system get just the right amount of acid in her stomach. We need acid. And when the body regulates it, when the brain regulates a lot of things, because some acid reflux is a brain thing sometimes, because when we're worried about something or something's really bothering us or we're struggling, you know, our brain can, you know, do the really help mess up, you know, your stomach. I'm finding out more about the brain all the time. The brain really messes up a lot of things. So when the brain's working better, then our body works better. So I thank you, Jesus, for, like with me, you worked on my brain. You helped me to think differently. And pretty soon my brain quit sending that extra acid stuff in my body. And I thank you, Lord, for healing her, God, this woman of God, this servant of God, this blessed child of heaven, Jesus, that you bless her, encourage her, lift her up, God, in Jesus' name, and set her apart to be used for the nations, God, for anybody that needs to be blessed. She's the one who can bring that blessing. We can pray it on them, believe them for it in Jesus' name. Believe with them for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I see a new prayer. A new prayer anointing too, girl. In Jesus' name, get ready for that. New prayer anointing. Anointing. Oil. Yeah, a little bit of oil. Hallelujah. All right, Donald, thank you, Lord, for Donald. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for intercession, for that spirit of intercession. Oh, the spirit of intercession is coming to y'all, both of y'all, looks like. The spirit of intercession, what it does is that's what brings, when God has me interceding in a higher level or deeper level or whatever, at periods of time in my life, it's because it's birthing something new. And so I'm hearing that from both of y'all tonight. Like, I hear intercession with you, intercession with Donald, new prayer anointing with Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for that, that you're birthing in this thing, God, in the name of you, birthing in the new, God, birthing in the new, birthing in the new, birthing in the new, bringing forth, letting the old pass away and letting the new come in, God. And, you know, eventually you're going to find yourself doing business with God and doing God's business. You know, not that you're not doing it already, but at a higher level. Sometimes we have the wilderness time, the in-between blessing that keeps us alive, right, until we make it to the promised land. That's really all the wilderness was, in the manna and quail was all that was about. Because there was no food there. They didn't eat their sheep. They ate the sheep. They wouldn't have had any sheep, right? So they had to keep their sheep. Couldn't eat the sheep. And God fed them manna. So that was kind of an in-between moment. And yet it was very blessed and very given. God gave that manna freely, man. It was a blessing. They got free food cooked by God every day, morning and night. Yeah. The quail at night, I think. Manna in the morning. I mean, that's God serving them, man. Did it for 40 years. Can you imagine that? Cooking. They got cooked food from God. Anyway, but it was to keep them alive and their children alive until they got into the promised land. So thank you, Lord, for that promised land place, God, that place of where they feel like they're in ownership of it. They're in ownership in Jesus' name. Amen. Ownership. All right. 312-841. You want to talk through some, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Marja. Thank you, Jesus, for that power. We got the power of God on her life, the power to change things, the power to change. Changing things, Marja, as you well know, is not change it the way we think it should be, but change it the way that God has given it to us, and he gives us his desires. The best way to change something is get God's desires on it, not just get his information on it, but let that information that God's given us turn into desire. And once it turns into desire, Marge, that's the deepest level of prayer for the will of God you can ever have. Praying something that you know God's will is great. And you're laboring over and praying over it, but man, all of a sudden something kicks in and like you want it more than you ever wanted before because now you're desiring it. Now it's not just God's. You're not just praying something because you know God wants you to pray it and doing it for him just to be good to him, you know, to honor him. But it is because now it is your desire. And I see this happening to you. I see things because when we, oh God, you know, okay, Jesus, help me to give and help people that are in need, whatever the thing is. You know, we're kind of praying it, you know, just like, you know, because we know it's God and that thing. And all of a sudden one day you wake up and, oh my God, I can't wait to give. I can't wait to help the poor and the needy. I can't wait to do that. It's like it takes over you, whatever desire for the whatever thing it is that I have to do. Because the word creates desire. But it's not really going to be powerful until it turns into desire, because desire means it becomes ours. So Peter, you know, my father revealed that to you. It became his. He knew it now. It's like it wasn't somebody because somebody else told him, flesh and blood, and but he knew it. Now it's his desire. Now he wanted it bad, like more than ever before. So thank you, Jesus, for Marjorie, God, that you're doing that in her life. Where she's praying with power and authority because it's coming from her desires that she has, that the word in her is creating desires that are hers, and they come from God, but they're now hers. She's praying them like, you know, like it's mine. It's already mine. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. I got it. In Jesus' name, and therefore it becomes powerful. Our prayers, praying God, what we believe God's will is one thing. Praying it out of passion is a whole other thing. That's when the fire girl is on the altar and the smoke, the blessed is going up in God's nostrils, and he's going like, that's not just her praying something. She's praying out of passion. She wants this as bad as I want it. That's what changes everything. That's what's happening with you. That's the word of God's doing. All right, Margaret, good to have you. All right, 803-991. Can we talk to Ruth, please? All right, hey, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of ad-libbing. Ad-libbing, I don't know what ad-libbing means. Let me look it up here. So maybe something I don't know. Ad-libbing. And let me spell that. And looking. There it is. Is it space add-lib, ad-lib. All right. I don't think I've ever looked at that word before. To improvise and deliver extemporaneously, like a comic monologue. To improvise and deliver perennially. Words can be bigger. To engage in improvisation. Okay, I'm going to get it right here. It's like to engage in improvisation as during delivery of a speech, word, music, or actions uttered, performed, or carried out extreme. Okay, I don't even know what that word means. I mean, I kind of know what it means, but let's look it up here. Extemporaneously. Okay, carried out or performed with little or no preparation. Impromptu. Wow, that's pretty good, girl. Oh, my God. Extemporaneously. See, this is why I have to look everything up. All right, I get these words in my life. Okay. Prepared in advance, but delivered without notes or text. Ooh-ah. Skilled. I just Googled it. I Googled this right. Skilled or given to unrehearsed speech or performance. An accomplished extemporaneously. I can't even say the word. Speaker. All right, there you go. Cool, man. Wow. God's been moving with you on that stuff. I love it. Yeah, so bless that. Open that up in Jesus' name. And cause her to see that, know that, walk in that, God, that ad-libbing. Go back to the original word, ad-lib, to improvise and deliver extemporaneously as a comic monologue. Like Robin Williams. I used to be so fascinated. Robin Williams had a foul mouth on him sometimes, but I loved his stuff. That he did pretty good. He'd get crazy sometimes, but he was the best at this. At the best, I mean, he was just like he was amazing. His brain worked so fast, so creatively, it was amazing. So Lord, whatever's going on with her, we just bless her with that in Jesus' name. I think that's just opening you up to things that are already inside you, Angela, and he's just kind of opening it up to you to go, you know, you got this. You just don't know it as much as you do. You're going to find out more about it. And so that's pretty interesting. I really like that. Really, really interesting. Yep, it is. Lippity-doo, dog. Lippity. Ad-lippity-dip. Ad-lippity-doo. Ad-lib. All right. Thank you very much. All right, 612-991, who are talking from, please?
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
This is Joyce from Minnesota, and I have my nephew, Philip, and also my grandchild, Hope.
You have your, I heard Hope. Who was the other one? Your nephew what?
My Philip.
Thank you very much. All right, awesome. Philip and Hope. I'm going to write this thing down and get my phone here and say, because I know me, and I might forget that. I miss a praying. Uh-oh. Dropped my phone. All right. Sorry. Can I mess up there? All right, we got Philip. Blossom. I said Blossom. And Hope. Philip Hope. Of course. All right, sorry about that. I kind of got something. I almost dropped my phone there. All right, thank you, Lord, for Philip. And, thank you, Jesus, for for their life, God. We thank you, Lord, for adding to Philip's life, God, that you will add to his life, that bring people into his life, bring things into his life that he needs. Being very needy is a very beautiful thing, because you're humble, you're needy. In the things that you need, you really need them, and you're not afraid to admit it, not afraid to say it, not afraid. And I thank you, Lord, for the ability for Philip to acknowledge his need and meet that need, that God wants to meet that need, fulfill that desire, and give you what you need. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for opening it up, connecting that with Joyce, and let Joyce be administer that, be a blessing to that somehow or another, and that Joyce will be able to help activate Philip and bring blessing to Philip, and make Philip aware that, you know, that that those needs, every need that we have, everything that we're made to want or made to desire or made to need, God has a way to fulfill. I mean, he'll use, his spirit will do it, but he uses human beings to fulfill those things. Amen. If we were all just fulfilled by God, we would need families. We wouldn't need each other, right? We just need God. He creates a need in us to need something or somebody or someone or something, and then he brings that into our life to fulfill it. Amen. Fulfill life, Philip. Fulfill Philip. There you go. Say that 30 times real quick, Joyce. Try that one. Fulfill Philip. Yeah. Fulfill Philip. Philip fulfilled. Philip fulfilled. It's using hope, God. We thank you for hope, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessed hope, God, that you watch over hope, and that hope never experienced the rejection, unnecessary rejection. God, that she will always feel accepted and loved and blessed and wanted, and she'll be able to make mistakes and be loved. She'll be able to have problems and have people around her that will help her work through those problems and enjoy it. Enjoy working. She's going to enjoy working on problems. Hope is going to enjoy working out problems. She's going to enjoy figuring out things. It's going to challenge her, make her feel like she's going to love being challenged to try to figure out things, how they work, and then make them work. Amen. And Joyce tonight, God, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you for joining to Joyce, adding to Joyce's life what she needs, God. If we just needed God, like I said earlier, we just have God. But God brings us people. He brings us relationships. He brings us things. Seek first kingdom God and his righteousness, and all these other things he adds to us. So, Lord, add those things in her life in Jesus' name, and bless her, God. Bless her abundantly, Father, in Jesus' name. Increase her and multiply her. Amen. Abundantly right now. All right. Very, very cool. All right. Let's go here to 903-808. You want to talk to me, come, please?
This is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, I got Jeannie in Texas. Jeannie does our Monday night shows, unless for some reason she's out. But make sure and catch her page on the website. We have a website now. I text that up to everybody. PGN-endtime.site, S-I-T-E. Like a website, site, S-I-T-E. PGN-endtime, E-N-D-T-I-M-E, dot. S-I-T-E. Check Gene's page out on that. Get to know Gene a little bit. Okay. So thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for that desire to be known. It's like you have this passion to be known. I want somebody to know me and love me. I want somebody to know me and to, we have a need to be known. The Bible says to know as you are known. Let me find that scripture here. Hang on a second. To know as you are known. Looking this up. I shall, let's see, it says 1 Corinthians 13:12, for we do see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall, hang on a second. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I don't know what this is going to. where this is headed, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. The last phrase, I shall know just as I also am known, would indicate that we shall know others as well as be known by others. I'm just reading this off the internet. It's not my revelation or anything, but just reading this off. That's what it says. Really cool. And there's something about that, about wanting to be known. You know, we want to be known. We want people to know us. Being known is a beautiful thing because when somebody gets to know you, they get to see a part of you that they've never seen before. So being able to reveal yourself, I think that's what Jeannie is. She's the kind of person she just reveals herself. You know, she just, you know, if you got something going on, a problem going on, she just say, hey, man, I got this problem going on. She doesn't try to hide it. It's like there's not a fear of her being known for who she is. And so what I see God doing is like, you know, the more you do that with people, the more you are that with people, the more other people come out of hiding from fears and anxieties, whatever the things are. And they start, you know, letting people see them for who they are. Right? And being known, I shall know just as I also am known. Yeah. So I still don't have all that, but there's something about being known, like being made known, God allowing you to see yourself the way that God has made you. You know, your spirit man has been born again, and your spirit man is much higher level than you've ever, you know, than anything in the earth. Your spirit man is absolutely perfect, actually. Your soul is not, of course. Your body's not. Our bodies and souls are not. But our spirit man is perfect. Yeah, it's perfection. We're in the image and likeness of Jesus. It's DNA, the seed of Christ, has recreated our spirit man. So God's going to start making known to you what you're really like. You know, your spirit man, what your spirit man really is like, you know. And I think many times when we think the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, Jeannie, I think it's our spirit man, which hears from God, is speaking what God is saying, but it's our spirit man saying it, not just the Holy Spirit, but it's maybe the Holy Spirit through our spirit man. I'm not sure exactly, but our spirit man is actually saying the thing or talking the thing or being the thing. We think, well, that was the Holy Spirit. Well, it came from the Holy Spirit, but our spirit man is the one saying it. God's going to make known things to you. It's going to come out in worship. It's going to come out in songs. You know, things you want to say, things you want, the intimacy thing you have that you want with God and you know, the loves of your life. You want them to know. You want to be known. You have a desire to be known, all of you, every part of you known, right? Because that's the way God made us. And so somehow God's going to give you that, you know, that desire. He's going to give you that, answer that prayer for you. And when that happens, it's going to open you up to the realm of, you know, of unlocking people from prisons of their own making, unlocking people so they can be themselves. They're not afraid to be themselves. They're going to see themselves as beautiful. They can see themselves, especially if they're born again, really only if they're born again, see themselves the way God's remade them. The thing is, we don't see how we've been remade, Jeannie. We don't see that. We don't know that. Very little of it. But God's going to really open you up to that. Amen. It's kind of deep. That was a deep one, but all right, cool. All right, 480-795. Who want to talk to me in front, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg
from Arizona.
Yes, got you, man. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for, hang on a second here. For opening Greg's heart, God, to seeing that, you know, the things that you have for him have never stopped being there. They're waiting. They're incorruptible. They can't be taken. They can't be robbed. They're there forever. God's teaching you how to access things. He wants you to learn how to access things. He'll teach you how to access things, to get access to something, like a certain code you put in to open up a safe or whatever. Like God's showing you codes, showing you keys, keys to the kingdom, keys of understanding, keys of how to, you know, why is that going on, what's happening with that, and then God gives you the key to it. He says, but once you understand something, you know, you just don't, it's now yours. You understand it. It's been made known to you. You now know it. And so God is really opening that area up to you to show you that everything he has for you is still sitting right there, everything. And he's saying, all you do is just relax, learn to enter into that rest, and let me just turn on things inside you and give you access. Stand still and see that I'm God. I think as God shows you how to stand still, you're going to see the access thing is seeing. Stand still, the access thing, stand still, and see that I'm God. Sometimes the access code is standing still, right? That's what God does me a lot of times. He says, Randy, you stand still. Stand still, you're going to miss it. I'm coming right by there. You know, you stand still, you just start right where you are, stand still. And when you stand still, you know, you're going to see. Stand still and see. Wow. Lord, open his eyes, God, in Jesus' name, at a whole other level, so that he can see that you called him to the glory realm, to the glory place, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That any condemnation, any shame that would try to hit him from anything at all, afraid he might do, you know, make a mistake again or fail again. We're all going to fail again. We're all going to fail. But the fear of that is what keeps us from being free to make decisions and do things, you know, because we made mistakes before, you know. So I think the whole thing with me, I've talked about this so much with me, it became the key for me, became the code for me was communion. Believe it or not, I know it sounds crazy. Communion became thank you because my big problem was that I convicted myself of a lot of things that God said, I'm not convicting you of that. What are you doing? It was called condemnation. I was condemning myself over things. He said, what are you doing, man? You're forgiven. You're blessed. Some of that stuff, I didn't even, you know, it's nothing. What are you doing? Yeah. I started realizing, you know, I so honed in on certain things that I did or didn't do that, you know, I couldn't move on. And so that's why I started breaking off that condemnation. Condemnation is a spirit of a lie. A light that is not God's light, that's not the light that is in you, be darkness, that seemed like light, conviction of what you did or didn't do, you know, even though it was, and it wasn't God at all. And so that's why communion saved my life. Because when you walk in the supernatural realm, God showed me the reason I'm having that communion, because walking in the supernatural realm, that every human being is subject to condemnation. It's such a lying spirit of light, false light, that we believe it's God, and we get condemned and don't even know it until we wake up, you know, 5 years later and go, oh, my God, what's going on? Yeah. So God's going to open you up to keys, to codes, to understand. Like, with me, communion became a code breaker of condemnation where, you know, I didn't have to struggle with it anymore. It just... you know, I just broke through. And, you know, when you walk in the supernatural realm or you're trying to learn how to, condemnation is the greatest tool of all. And I mentioned this many, many times, and I'm still learning from it. How powerful that lie from hell is. It's amazing. Literally, it's amazing. All right, so God's really breaking you through in that area. And all you got to do is believe it. All right? All right, give me a minute. I'll be right there. Take my next call. Okay, I'll be right there. Give me just a moment. I'll be right back. All right. Let's take another caller here tonight. Jesus.
All right. 210-527. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle. Good to have you tonight. All right. Nice to be with you tonight, Michelle. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Michelle. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence builders you've given her, God, the things to focus on that are that build her confidence, like David would build himself up in the Lord because he learned how to focus on. We all go through battles. We all have insecurities. We all have things, stuff that goes on, you know, and sometimes defeat things that try to trigger, you know, defeat things that try to trigger feeling defeated when we're really not defeated yet. That's kind of, so God giving you the wisdom and showing you how to build yourself up, how to encourage yourself. And, you know, and so I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, Lord, for activating that inside of her heart, God, and showing her how to focus on the things that that activate God's stuff, like meditation, meditating on God's word, on his on the good things. You know, it activates good things. When we you know, people have triggers. If I had something bad happening when I was a kid, a certain thing, a certain guy did a certain thing that looked a certain way, had a certain look, even a certain smell, whatever thing, did something to me bad. Anytime I see somebody like that and they do anything to me at all, it tries to trigger that thing to go, oh, God, this guy's going to try to do the same thing again. It triggers things. There's a trigger that does things. And so I see God, eliminating triggers inside of you, showing you how to eliminate them, showing you how to get rid of those things that just trigger stuff. I mean, you can have anything can trigger anything inside of us, trigger an emotion, a thought, a thing, and we can't really control that. All we can do really is just wash it away by the, you know, by asking the Lord to show us how to wash that, cleanse that, break that up, where it's the memory will always be there, but the pain of the memory, the fear of the memory, the fear can be washed away, the pain can be washed away, and yet the memory will always basically be there, but you'll not see it in the same light. So God showing you how to see things in a new light. And I'm not just talking about positive thinking or positive belief. I'm talking about God literally coming in and cleansing something and washing the fear away. So I rebuke fear. I rebuke anxiety and stress or anything that tries to activate things. And I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, God, and the confirmation that you're moving her forward, God, and that you're sometimes it's not that God's kind of that we're hindered from moving forward. It's that the trigger things, right? So we learn how to take those triggers away and remove them, and then nothing can be triggered. So we just keep on going. We keep on moving. A trigger stops you in your tracks. Well, okay, I'm going to stop right here. Maybe I should look around, what's going on, and maybe I should go back the other direction. If it's not triggered, you just keep on moving along, moving forward. So thank you, Lord, for that wisdom with her, God, giving her that wisdom and knowledge and the ability to do that. Amen. In Jesus' name, help her with that, Father. If you can just keep moving forward, never be hindered or stopped, not for long. Because when she gets stopped, she goes, I'm stopped. What triggered that? Okay, God, help wash that trigger away. Take it away from me. Yep, there it goes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's move on. Amen. And be able to move forward. All right. Awesome. Okay, hang on a second here. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm coming down the pike there. I'm on my way down there. 912-398. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Paulette from Georgia.
I'm sorry, say it again, please.
Paulette from Georgia.
Oh, hi, Paulette. Hi, Paulette.
Hi.
Thank you. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. God, I thank you, Lord, for activating her brain, activating those thoughts, activating memories, things that are good, that are godly, that are beautiful. And let her encourage. She encourages others. May other people encourage her. Amen. And Jesus, that God's creating an environment around her where she feels comforted and safe and protected and watched over, and that God is the author of all of it, but people and different things happen that cause it to happen. And we thank God not only for what God does, but we thank God for the people in our life. God, that the people in her life, God, will treasure her and bless her.
and call her blessed. And, you know, that may the people around her, may her family rise up and call her blessed and precious and beautiful, God, in your sight, God. And that Paulette will connect into the blessings of God and be an example of what it's like to be blessed. You know, Paulette the blessed. Call her Paulette the blessed, or the blessed Paulette. I think I like Paulette the blessed better. Something like that. And in Jesus' name, thank you for her faith, her love, and her compassion, God, in Jesus' name. Multiply that, increase that, and reward her, Father, richly for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. She calls upon your name, God, that you bring her what she needs. Especially as she learned more and more how to pray. And we're all learning how to pray God's will. And when God shows us what to pray, we just pray it. And we believe that it's because he's getting us to pray it. It's his desire for us. Then it's just going to happen. There's no question about it. Amen. It's his will. Yes, sir. All right. 214-701, who I talked to some, please.
Latoya from Texas.
Who?
Latoya.
Maria?
Latoya.
Oh, Latoya, I'm sorry. I don't know why I couldn't hear that. I'm sorry, I apologize. Thank you, Latoya. Thank you for that. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you so much. I just couldn't hear that for some reason. I don't know why. That was almost funny. Okay, hang on a second. One thing I'm having a little problem here with the internet is my internet kind of goes weird off and on. Today's been really bad with the internet. For some reason, I don't understand it. I don't like it. What are we going to do without the internet, man? What are we going to do when that messes up? Wow. I don't know. Anyway, okay, thank you, Jesus. We're not going to talk about that. That's what we're going to do. All right, get back on here again. Okay, Latoya, thank you for being with us tonight. And thank God. Let's see what we'll do here. Okay, give me a second. What did I do with that? Oh, I had it on the phone. I got two phones. Learning how to use two phones, Latoya. You ever tried that? Don't do it. It's not good for you, I don't think. Okay. Here we go. Now I got it. Okay, Tori, I'm sorry. Hang on just a second here. I'm like, all right, now we're moving along. I'll show you how to use her the world of technology and whatever ways to use it at its, you know, if God's not blessing something, nothing's going to work, right? But when God's blessing it, sometimes God blesses us in certain areas, like how to use technology. Like I use computers. I started learning to use how, you know, make my website years ago. And just things that I'd learned to do that's been a blessing for me in the technology world and the computer age and the computer world, you know, and learned how to use technology and equipment and things. So God's going to really teach you how to use things to the fullest to find the key strategies, the key way, the things to do, and with God's blessing, of course, to where things, you know, just start working for you. I just see things starting to work for you, things coming together for you, things, you know, that you struggle with, that God's showing you new ways to approach a situation, to approach a problem, to approach a situation where you approach it in a way that you've never approached it before. And, yeah, so if you approach those things, you begin to see that, wow, look at that, that's cool. I just approached it a little bit different way, and look at the big difference that it made. right? So I see God doing that with you and showing you how to do that and moving upon you to learn how to use technology and different things. Well, it doesn't have to be technology, but different ways to get things done and to make things work better and easier. Yeah, something like that. All right. Amen. So bless that in her life, God. Increase that and multiply it in her life, where she will be blessed and be increased in Jesus' name. And open up her heart to believe you, that your blessing will be on those things that she does. Like, we can do all these kind of things, LaCorey, as you know, but if God's blessing's not on it, you know, it just, like, falls flat for all of us. But so God doesn't want you to be blessed with anything that's not of him. Because if it's not of him, then you're going to have to work it, keep up with it, worry about it, stress about it. But he wants you to live a stress-free life. Or, you know, a stress-free life is somebody who gets stress coming on them and they give it over to God. None of us go stress-free, but to live in a stress-free means you learn how to cast your stress upon the Lord. Amen. And when you do that, then things change. Yeah? Yeah. All right. So let's go here to my next caller. Who's next? Okay, I think right here. All right, 803-422. Hang on a second. 803-422. Can I talk to your phone, please? Okay. I'll let somebody... cutting down a tree in the backyard or something. All right. Hang on a second. Cutting down a tree. Oh, could it be me cutting down a tree? And then a second here. So thank you, Lord, for 803. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of compassion, Father, that as my friend gives compassion, he gives mercy, learning how to give away. Giving is not just money, right? Giving is giving everything, giving our life away. And God's showing you how to give your life away. So whenever you need something, what he's giving you is seed. What's a seed? It's not about people giving you something. It's about you having something. Everybody's got something. We all have time. We all have time. So what do? You give some of your time away. And that has to be all day long. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 hours. It could be five, you know, whatever the thing is. Give some time away, because that's a seed that you have. The seed is what you can do. You know, come over, help. Yeah. Do something, fix something, do something, and start, you know, start finding out that everything you have in your life that you have, any gift you have, anything, when you give that away, not sell it, but give it away, God will help the things that you're selling. If you're selling stuff, you know, if somebody's selling that, because when you give, it can bless your business, it can bless your finances, it can bless whatever you're doing. So I thank the Lord for that. In Jesus' name, for my friend tonight, I teach them how to, everything they have is a seed and can be used as a seed to increase their life, to multiply them. Amen. Nobody doesn't have, you may not have any money at all. It's not about money. You want to get blessed with money? Start using your gifts, and God will bless you with money. If you need the money, he will bless you with money. All right, give it away. For God so loved the world that he gave. And God, I think, is probably the wisest person that I've ever met. And he is the biggest giver. Why? Why is he the biggest giver? Because he knows how things work. He gives. So we give our time away. We find, you know, we don't have to be overwhelmed with doing it, you know, for years. Just find a little something that you got and give it away. All right? When you do that, you know, just believe God to bless you. All right? Don't believe God for the person to bless you so much as God to bless you. All right? And that, there you go. So we all have seed. We all have something to give away and plant it and believe God to bless you. And the areas that you need, you know, some areas you may not need, but you can take any area, even the things you don't need, and you can make it bigger and bigger and bigger by giving it away. Even if you're selling products, sometimes you can give some of your time away to somebody, to a neighbor, to a friend, or somebody in need, and your business will be blessed, right? That's what God wants to bless. Right? He blesses whatever we need or whatever we're called to do. All right? Okay. Hang on a second here. All right, 951-966. Can we talk to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina. All right. Good to have you, Regina. Thank you for the Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for her voice, God, to comfort, to bless, to turn things around, the voice to, in the wilderness crying out, preparing the way of the Lord, that God, you're showing Regina how to prepare things, how to prepare. Sometimes things don't come, Regina, for me until the Lord shows, first he shows me how to prepare for it. Everything that comes, comes because in God's kingdom, at least, with preparation. Right, we prepare for it. Like we're talking about the there's this thing somebody came up with that the two farmers were told by somebody that it's going to rain. It hadn't rained for a long time, so one farmer gets out there and he prepares. He digs a big ditch, you know, a big thing, you know, where when the water when it rained, he would end up having water. And the other farmer didn't prepare for it, and there when the rain quit, he had no more water. But the other farmer, because he prepared, he dug a hole. You know, a pit or whatever, able to keep that water, you know. And so preparation, so God's showing you how to prepare something, because if it's not prepared, you know, like Jesus, God used John the Baptist. He was the greatest prophet ever in the Old Testament. Why? He didn't even bring any, he didn't do any miracles. Why was he the greatest? Because he prepared the way for the Lord. He did the main thing of prepping. So God can show you how to prepare the way for things, how to make a way for things. Like, you know, like sometimes we just have to start, we believe God will bless us with flowers, let's say. Is it just any example? You go out there and you start digging little holes for flowers. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, man, we got a bunch of extra flowers over here for the people down the street. They didn't need all of them. You want some of these? You go, oh, my God, I prepared for it. And there they are. I literally had this happen with my the pastor that I used to be the prophet of the house. He was built a new building. And they literally needed grass, and literally this happened. That's amazing. And this guy in a big truck driving by one day and says, man, this ticket that I had was to deliver this grass over there, it just didn't work out, and so I got to get rid of this load. Do you want all this grass? And they got free grass, you know, lots of grass, because they were out in the field. You know, they had a field, which is an old field. They were made into, a church and a, you know, sanctuary, and all the grass, there was no grass around there. It was amazing, and because they prepared for it. So God showed her how to prepare God to whatever she needs. To, sometimes it's not just in giving time or whatever. Sometimes it is digging that ditch or digging a little hole for the flower, where you put the flowers when they come, you know, and then all of a sudden money comes in or something happens or, you know, whatever. And so preparing. The greatest things that come, we prepare for them. In other words, we're saying, like, God, okay, I believe it's coming, so here we go. I'm ready for it. I'm going to get my bags out. You're going to go on a trip, get your bags out, and start putting some stuff in there, you know, prepared. Yeah, all right, cool. That's going to bless you with something. I just feel like it's really, really good. All right, 503-318, you want to talk to me from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Robin from Oregon.
Hey, Robin. All right, Robin, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Robin tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for her victory, God, for the victory, God. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't look like victory. Sometimes things don't look like victory. When Jesus was on the cross, it didn't look like victory, but it was. I thank you, Lord, for giving her the eyes. That she has eyes to see. You know, Robin has eyes to see. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you can let her see the victory in things that look like it's been defeated. All the disciples were hiding. They say, man, this is it's it. We're all going down. We believed in him so much. We tell everybody. Everybody knows we believed in him. Now he ended up being cursed on a tree. Now we're all, like, cursed with him. So what are we going to do now? They went and hid out. Right? Because they, and so they didn't see the victory, right? All of a sudden, you know, even though the victory had been won, they just didn't know it yet. It was already in the Bible that it was going to be won. So help. So given Robin has that ability to see God. Let her see the things that look like defeat, that look like failure, that look like that somehow, some way, it's a sign, you know, or something that it's happening, that is coming, that you know, Yeah. So in Jesus' name, that's what Jesus taught. He said, speak those things that are not as though they were. And so I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of the Spirit, God, that you're training her, showing her how to speak those things that are not as though they were. So Jesus looked like he was defeated, but really he got the victory. Joseph looked like he was defeated, looked like he was going under. He was lost. And yet the whole time God was just positioning him right where he needed to be. And that was a prison of all places to interpret a couple of dreams for a couple of guys and end up ruling, you know, basically the known world to find, along with Pharaoh. So, Lord, so thank you, Jesus, that her eyes of hope will see beyond the things that look like defeat, or they look like, you know, the fear of defeat, the fear of failure. And thank you, Lord, that you've given her the spirit of victory and the ability to see the victory, so she can have the victory because she sees it, that it's something that's already done, and it's for her, and there is no defeat in Christ Jesus in Robin. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 111, who am I talking to? Will you come, please?
Barbara from Texas.
Say it again, please.
It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. I don't think I'm hearing very well from that, Barbara. Thank you. All right, Barbara, thank you. And I think you said pray for somebody, too. Let me see here. Sorry about that. I think you said pray for somebody. Yeah, you text me here and said pray for Betty. She has cancer all through her body. Oh, my God. I call in at 9. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. All right. Yeah, Lord, pray for Betty from that, God. We thank you, Jesus. That God, we believe for miracles. We believe for signs and wonders, God. We thank you for all that. We thank you for giving Betty a real faith, God, that her faith will come alive and be real. And she will trust Jesus. She said, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. That the fear of death and the fear of all that, God, will be broken off her, that it cannot snag her before her time. God, in Jesus' name, she will not go down in defeat in her heart. God, we thank you, Jesus, that whether we live or die, we bring glory to God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've given Barbara the word on how to pray, what to pray, how to believe you, Jesus. And we just come in agreement with Barbara, whatever God shows her, we just come in agreement with her in Jesus' name, that Betty just surrenders to you, Jesus. And, you know, like Catherine Coleman was saying many times, she said, you know, when some people, she prayed for some people to die. A lot of them lived. A lot of them came to life. A lot of them got miracles. But she would say they just got a better healing. You know, she just came to grips with that sometimes is what it is. And sometimes, you know, like in her case, she saw multitudes of miracles, amazing things. God, it was amazing. And so, Lord, we just thank you that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And bless Barbara. Give her that understanding. Give her that wisdom, God. That ability to believe you and trust you, and that, you know, we're going to trust you, God. We're going to believe you for miracles. In Jesus' name, the miracle girl that believes for miracles, for that girl, for Betty, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Preparation, preparing. All right, 919-995. Let's talk to you, come, please.
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Hey, Cheryl. Cheryl, North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for giving her keys to understanding. Understanding the things that we need to understand is a thing. Sometimes we think it's one thing, another. But getting understanding, at all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding things. Sometimes we see it one way, and the truth is that God sees it a completely different way. God knows the beginning from the end, so he looks at things in a whole different way. So, Lord, I thank you for Cheryl for opening her eyes, God, and giving her that ability to see and to know and to understand things so that she will walk by faith in new ways. God, she never had before. That she's not trying to control God, but God wanting to control her. As she gives control of her life to you, God, more and more all the time, that don't be surprised when God takes control and does for you in your behalf. Even without your consent, because you already gave him consent. You said, God, I'm all yours. And God knows when we say that, he knows we meant it, and he ain't gonna let us take it back, especially when he wants to bless us. Right? He's like, he's gonna just bless. Lord, I think if we're blessing Cheryl, God, increasing her, multiplying her, revitalizing her life, God, and giving her fresh new starts, fresh new beginnings, fresh new openings, fresh new ideas, with new mercies every morning, God, in Jesus' name, and that she take captive those thoughts that try to tell her otherwise, in Jesus' name, and cast them down and lift up Jesus like she always does, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, 915-929, you want to talk to her, please?
It's Carmen from Texas, and also pray for Daniel from Texas.
All right, two Texas people. That's a double pack, power pack, Texas people there. Yes, it is. And I declare that, and I decree that, and I believe that. In Jesus' name, no problem. No problem. We believe in God. Yeah, no problem. No problem. There's no problem. God can't solve. There's no problem. There's no problem. No problem. Well, there's lots of problems. Are you blind? There's problems everywhere. Yeah, but, you know, when you see that God works everything out for good, then there's no problem, right? If he works it out for good, then what's the problem? Where's the problem at? Well, of course, there's a problem, but he takes a problem. It's where the thing ends up. That's what matters. It's an anointing to get things. We can't do it for others, but we can get our own life and pray for others. But the only people that we can get all that lined up with is us and God. But the thing is, Carmen, when God causes things to get lined up between you and him, and you line up things with him, it's like, I think I use Captain Coleman. I love Captain Coleman, right? She's my favorite minister. I mean, I just love her stuff, and a lot of people do it. And so she gave God control of her life, right? And you can tell she did. And so what happened was, once she did that, then the people that came into her life, God would take control of their problems. Turn their problems into blessings. He would take their sicknesses, turn them into healing. He would take their disasters and turn them into miracles, right? Because he had somebody who allowed him to take control of things, you know, because people want to be healed, but they need somebody who can flow through them that has given control to God so that God can come through them, take control of the environment through a person and through control of a sickness and a disease. People are wanting it, but they can't see. Because Kathleen would allow people, Carmen, would allow God to come through her. She learned how to do it. She learned how to flow in it. And God showed me how to do that too, to walk in that, to live in that, to desire that, to be part of that, and to let God flow through you in that. And then where he has control of us. That's why we got to work on what God is kind of doing us. Once we give God control of our lives through us, and do and control things, you know, take authority over things, take dominion over things. If he paid the price, Jesus already gave his life for it, so it's all his, but he's looking for people that will let him control their life by their own, you know, willingness, so he can control or take dominion or take authority over things, heal the sick, raise the dead, take authority over death, sickness, and disease. Amen? Wow. And Daniel, Lord, we thank for Daniel tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him gifts and abilities, God. We thank you, Lord, for teaching him how to rest his mind, how to rest his heart. God, in Jesus' name, bring blessing to him to where he can rest in you and trust you and believe you, God, and cause, you know, the things that that wear him out to where they just don't wear him out anymore. He just doesn't. Let that eat away at his brain, eat away his energy, eat away his energy. He learns to feed off of it. The Bible talks about how that when they went to the giants, take the giants down, it said the giants are food for us, right? The giants are food for us. So what happens with problems? We're food for the problem. The food just eats us. The problem just eat up our energy, eat up our, you know, oh my God. That's what it does with me when it messes with me, right? If I let it. But you know what? The giants should be food for us, those giant problems, you know. So we turn it around and believe God to feed us, give us those problems become amazing because they feed us. The giants feed us. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Hang on a second. The giant, I'm Googling this, and the land. Our bread, something like that. I don't know if that's how it said. Give me a second here. Let's see what it said. I'm bad. I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly correct. I think I muted myself. Did you hear any of that, Carmen? Somebody just texted me right in the middle of that, and I reached for my phone, and I think I muted you. Did you hear any of that? All right, I'm going to repeat it anyway for Daniel. I can't believe I did that. And I couldn't tell when I muted it exactly. Anyway, let me repeat this whole thing. So this is for Daniel about God showing him how to make the big giant problem that we all have. Some have a lot more than others, but that those giant problems, instead of draining his energy, wearing him out, they will become food. Those giant problems will become bread for him, food for him. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Number 14 is for Daniel. All right, and I'll take that. I will take that. I will definitely take that one. Dear God, that's amazing. One version says, we will devour them like bread and like food. They have no protection, and Yahweh is with us. We won't be afraid of them. I love that, man. But they will be our prey. Ooh, Daniel. My Lord and my God. We will chew them up. One version says the NCB version says we will chew them up. We will chew them up. They are bread for us. We will another one version says we will swallow them up. We will devour them. I'm reading all the different things. They are our bread. They are our food. One verse says, they are our food. They are only helpless prey to us. Wow, interesting. It's really interesting. All the different versions really do help you understand stuff. Really cool. Okay, so the next caller here. Thank you, Carmen. 720-819. You want to talk to me from, please?
Jeff and Uke.
Hey, all right, Jeff and Uke. I hope that looked like your number. All right, Jeff and Uke, that is not a Colorado number anymore. That is a Nevada number. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And getting back to that trust thing from last night, I thought about that today, man. That, you know, I very seldom have shows going to the next day for me, but that thing you were saying about trust in theater, that trust thing is like God's really showing you about the trust thing, that people do things to get us to trust them. And, you know, especially when we have something or have something that they want or they, you know, whatever, then they get us to trust them, and then they rob it from us, if you will. They take it from us. That's kind of what the Bernie Madoff thing did exactly with that. So God's going to show you about that. You can open your eyes to that. He's going to catch you up in the spirit of that and show you that. I'm sure it already is, but it can increase, open you up to that, because it's going to be a thing of the end time where a lot of people are going to be subject to that thing, and they're going to be doing a lot of that. It's going to happen a lot. It's going to be like the spirit of the end of the age. We'll just say it's going to be the thing of the end of the age that we live in. Right? Yeah. It's going to produce a lot of people going, everything it can to get our trust, and once they got our trust, then they... Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for engineering, ways around that, and exposing it, and like that one guy who who even Bernie Madoff said, I think he was the only one that really knew about it. He sucked the life out of him. I think he took like $9 billion from him. I think he ended up getting $9 billion profit from him by scamming him in a way. So, yeah, that's amazing. Anyway, guys, open the whole thing because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and we always think it's going to be some big, bad, ugly, mean devil. Sometimes it can be some really, you know, cool person. Like, he was so suave and so cool, man. Somebody like, you know, you can trust Bernie. Bernie, he's cool, man. He's proven himself many times. And, wow. Amazing. So I can't believe I'm even talking about this again tonight. Like, I hardly ever do that as far as those kind of things. But thank you, Lord, that you're giving, you're connecting it to a new understanding of power, the power of understanding, the power of insight. Because once you see something, like Donald said one night on the show, it really impressed me. He said, Randy, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Right? Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, it's like there. Like, God's going to show you things, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. You're always going to recognize that thing. Nobody else will see it, but you'll see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see that? Like, that happens to me, right? My poor wife had to deal with this a lot. It's like, man, did you see that? What? Did you see that? You know, when they did that. Said, no, I didn't hear. I didn't get any of that. I did, and I would tell her what I saw, and sure enough, you know, It'd be cool. Be right on. And if once you get your eyes open to a certain thing, you see it wherever it's at. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So you'll be able to recognize things that other people won't recognize because they haven't seen it yet. They haven't had their eyes open yet. Having your eyes open, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, is extremely important because once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you know it, you can't unknow it. And then you learn how to avoid or expose or whatever, how to work it, that thing. And, so thank God for giving Jeff strategies, God, of how to develop things, work things, and not give all of his information to anybody. Sometimes you don't give your information to nobody, and I mean nobody. And that's what God, it's even for their protection. Sometimes keeping something complete to yourself is the wise thing to do. I remember when the guy took over Egypt, when the Muslims got Egypt there for a while, when Obama was, I don't know if you remember any of that, when Obama was president, Hosni Mubarak lost Egypt, and everybody kind of followed him. But so when he fell, like, the whole thing fell apart, and they got a Muslim in there to run it. I can't think of the guy's name, but he was in there for about a year. And then this one general that used to be with Mubarak, told nobody his strategy. I mean, nobody. He didn't tell anybody. And he went in, and then one night he gathered a bunch of people together, didn't even tell them what they were doing, and all of a sudden he said, we're going to go do this. He knew that they were kind of for him, got them together. Nobody even knew his strategy until the night they did it. Something about like that. And that's why it was just easy. He went in there, he took them, and it was done. He became the president of Egypt. Right, this is in Obama's days. Yeah, so it's a very big thing, and it kind of taught me something a little bit about that. Like, man, he never told anybody, I mean nobody, his wife, his friend, nobody knew, only him, because he knew. And sometimes there's some things that are so big, they're so, you can't tell anybody about it until the right time, and it's really, really important. So, I thank you, Lord, for you, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving you the wisdom how to let any type of deception that tries to come, tries to be around her, God, she will be able to identify it for what it is and deal with it. Sometimes quietly we deal with things. Sometimes we deal with it quietly, and sometimes we deal with it publicly. You know what God's saying about it, but learn how to deal with issues and problems and take care of things without making the problem bigger. In order to deal with the problem, sometimes you expose things, you have to do it privately. Sometimes you deal with things, you have to do it privately. Sometimes you have to do it publicly. It depends on what the situation is. But learn how to deal with things. Learn how to work things And, yeah, learning how to work things. If we don't do that. Many times I would go fix something, come out and fix her. I just make this big thing out of it, you know, like, because I thought, man, we're going to really take care of this really good. And I went about it. I was doing the right thing, but I did it the wrong way. And it's been a big mess. And so I have learned how to, you know, deal with things. And, yeah, anyway. Very cool. All right. 11:50. That's my last caller. Put a hand up. So if you want to be ministered to, please get that hand up there. 903-253. You don't have your hand up if you're listening. The only one left. It's almost midnight in Texas. So get the hand up there. I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute everything just for a minute. So if you want ministry, yeah, there we go. All right, awesome. All right, 803-422. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Felicia, South Carolina.
Who? South Carolina, huh?
Felicia, South Carolina.
Oh, Felicia. Yes, Felicia. Hi, how are you?
All right.
Hi, Felicia. All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Felicia. It's not, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Felicia. God, thank you, Lord, for breaking down things in a way that she can understand it. Sometimes things get really, you know, like overwhelming. And God has to, you know, sometimes, you know, well, like with me, Felicia, I learn things the way I can learn them. God knows the way I can learn. He teaches me the way I can learn. That's why other people try to teach me. I feel dumb because I can't get it. But really the truth is it's not about that I'm any smarter or dumber than anybody else. It's just the way I learn, I absorb things, the way I get things, the way sometimes I love parables. I love to watch a movie. I love to watch documentaries. I learned a lot from documentaries, especially, you know, documentaries, true stories about things. I love those things because, you know, that's, for some reason, I learn from them enormously. Like my mind just kind of goes when I'm watching a video. Like when I go to heaven, I'm probably going to have my own video room where I'm watching all the films of Jesus and what he did and how he died and how he healed people, and, you know, all the things that happened. Elijah, I'll probably have my own, you know, TV because God knows that's just the way my brain works, right? So you have, you know, comparing yourself with others, the way they learn, the way they do things, and the way they get things, you know, God has really blessed you and given you a way that you can absorb things, but it's the way that you're made. It's the way you're created. And you try to learn things any other way, it doesn't happen. So God shows you how to learn things, how to absorb things, and then once you do that, you really get it. You really get it good. And so, you know, so don't compare yourself with other people, how smart they are or how, you know, how they get things done, whatever. God's got that gift in you, and he's going to show you how it's going to work inside of you so that when you're dealing with people, dealing with things, dealing with stuff, you deal with it the way he shows you how to deal with it. And, of course, always perfecting that strategy because, you know, he doesn't want you doing things other people's ways because other people's ways will work for them. It's not going to work for you. Jesus works for everybody, but sometimes he gives different people different strategies on how to deal with things, how to handle things. So let God show you the way he wants you to do it with your personality, with your, you know, who you are as a person, because being who you really are is the purest you that you could be. Even the real you with mistakes and, you know, blunders, we all have that stuff. You know, I got my share of them. But when I'm just being real, people go, man, even though he's really got some stuff messed up, he's a really real person. You know, I'm not saying to say that. I'm just saying as an example. We really want people love it when we just be ourselves. Even if we're goofy sometimes and you know, we know we're wrong about something, but they just kind of like, you know, like, wow, at least they're being themselves. So God's really showing you how to be who you really are and finding out who you really are and then being who you really are. And that's the most pure that you can be. Being like somebody else is the most impure thing we can do. Even if it's a really good thing, we're trying to, you know, do what they do, be what they are. They may have some really good examples of how to live life, but he wants you to live that life the way he's going to show you how to do it. So that way it's real for you. It's the Father gives that to you. It's revelation to you. Therefore, you can do it no matter what. You can talk about it. Why? Because it's inside you. You're not talking about if you have to read something off a book, but it's somebody else's idea. It's good as an idea, maybe, but it's the thing that he showed you. That, like when I used to, in high school, I couldn't talk in front of a crowd because I really didn't have anything to say. You know, I didn't really know how to talk. I didn't know what I believed. I didn't really believe much of anything. I just wanted to have fun and live life, you know, and, you know, play sports and that kind of thing. So when it came to talking to people, I just didn't have much. So when I got saved and I had something to say, I believed something for the first time in my life, then, you know, I could talk forever and ever, you know. Why? Because it was inside of me. I was talking the stuff that I knew, that I understood. And people started going, wow, what happened to you? Like, you're a completely different person. Yeah. So God's really going to open that up for you and bless you in that area. Amen. All right. We got 5 minutes, 4 minutes, and people will not be able to get in line after 12. You need to get in before 12 o'clock because at 12 o'clock Texas time, Central Standard Time, the call lines stop letting people call in. So please call in if you want to minister. If you minister to, we'd love to pray for you. And we'd do it for till 1 o'clock. We have to. We're here for you. So get in there and get prayer tonight. We'd love to pray for you. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to give it a minute for anybody to call in. I'll be right back. All right, everybody, I think that's about it for tonight. No more callers with their hand up, so we're going to call it tonight. Thanks for being with us. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow or next week. Both? All right. All right, I think that's it because nobody else can call in. I got one caller with their hand up, and I've talked to them, but they're not able to respond right now. Okay? All right. Good night, everybody. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow. All right, bye.